Okay. It is 6:35. I think we've got critical mass. Ellen, why don't you start the roll call and then we'll backfill later. First, let me, before we do that, for the record, let me say that this is the December 11th, 2024, monthly meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. Dennis Williams in the big chair. Calling the meeting to order and asking the secretary to begin calling the roll.
And I'll be calling the roll of the 2024 members.
Right.
And then I'll go later. We'll explain to them. Okay. Irene, someone has their, someone.
Yes, everyone please mute. Everyone please mute unless you're responding.
Someone's on the phone that's not muted. The 615 that's not muted.
Okay.
All right. Irene, she said that
she would be
trying
late.
To come in right but late.
Right.
Vanessa?
She just walked in.
Okay. Verna?
Present.
Wayne?
Here.
Bill? I don't see him. Violetta?
Here.
I saw her. Wanda?
I'm here.
Robert?
Present.
I saw him.
Present.
Okay, Kamal?
I'm here.
Arthur?
Arthur is here.
Ambrose? Ambrose.
Don't see him.
Okay. Andrew Craig.
Here.
Patrick Morrison. Patrick Morrison. Tony Leon.
Present.
Mariah McLean.
She said that she would not be here.
That's right. Ron.
Present.
Minerva. Minerva. Do you see her?
No, actually I don't.
Okay. Adele. I did see Adele.
Present.
Michael Hirsch.
Yes, I'm here. Michael? I'm here.
Okay. And Dennis.
I'm here.
Minerva, have you seen her come in yet? No.
No. Is it Minerva and Bill?
Minerva and Bill.
Vanessa's here.
Yes.
Okay.
We got you.
We got you. Sue Goodwin.
I'm here.
Okay. Is that why your hand is raised, Sue?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And then I'm certain you also will talk about Donna.
Yes.
Who was a faithful, faithful member of PFW's LSB. And I don't know if people know, she touched so many lives in the community, in organizations, other organizations she was in, and WPFW. And if she agreed with you, she was very respectful in her response. And she just did so much and will be missed. Will be missed.
Well said. Thank you. I just got a message that, Minerva also had a death in the family and will not be here.
Okay. Bill? Has Bill said anything?
I haven't seen Bill.
Okay.
All right. thank you all for coming.
Excuse me, I wasn't called.
Who's this?
Who is that?
David Chiasi.
Yeah, so we're going to do the, after this was the 2024 board, and then the next thing we'll do after we approve the agenda and minutes is then bring you officially on. So that's how that'll work.
Okay, thanks.
Excuse me as well. Did you call my name? This is Wanda.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I'm certain I called Wanda. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you all for being here. First item of business is approval of the agenda. We do have a suggested change, which is that since the secretary has already emailed people with the link to vote for the officer elections, what we can do is you can reply to that over the first part of the meeting. And then we can do the tabulations right after community comments. So we can flip that up. That would be my suggestion. Is there any objections to that? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to object. Yes.
You're not recognized yet, Eric.
Well, that's what I was trying to do, be recognized.
You can't be recognized yet because you're not seated yet. You can object in about 5-10 minutes. Any other objections to the agenda? Okay, how about the November minutes? Any objections? Okay, November minutes approved. Okay, so now we do our changing of the guard. First, we will say goodbye with thanks to the previous members of the board, those who are exiting today, including Andrew Craig, Pat Morrison, Adele Stan, and as you just heard, our dearly departed Donna Grimes, who sadly passed away today. So big thanks to all of them for their service, and they've helped to make the board a better place. We appreciate that. We are welcoming back for our new 3-year terms, first three staff delegates, Violetta Diamond, Sue Goodwin, and Kamau Harris, and the following listener delegates, Irene Adams, Bill Curtis, Art Highland, and Minerva Sanders. Ambrose just came in. Oh, and so did Minerva.
Chair?
Yes.
This is Verna. I'm a staff representative.
Oh, yeah, but you're not new.
Oh, I thought you said welcome back.
Well, welcome back. These are people who ran this year and they're just beginning new 3-year terms.
Okay.
Okay. So the names I'm giving now are people who are starting new 3-year terms. So those are the welcome backs. And then, new and, returning board members also starting, new 3-year terms as listener delegates, Craig Green, David Chiasi, Julie Hewitt, who I think just came in. Eric Ramey and Michelle Tingling Clemens. I would like to, on behalf of the board, offer you all the right hand of fellowship, welcome you, to the fight, to the struggle, to the work for the next 3 years. The last five, I'd like to give a minute to see if any of you have a minute or so that you'd like to say something by way of introduction of yourself and some comment on what your hopes for the board. Let's go alphabetical. Mr. Green, anything you'd like to say?
Thank you for having me. I'm actually a listener from Loudoun County, but I've been listening to this radio station for well over 25 years. So
Virginia.
Felt like time to give some love back. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cassie.
Yeah. I've been a listener. Ooh, wait a minute. I've been a listener since the beginning, the late 70s. And yeah, I'm a Prince George's County resident. And that's all I really can think of right now.
Okay. Plenty of time to make your voice heard over the next few years. Julie Hewitt. Julie, are you here? Donna, sorry, come in.
Looks like her audio is out. She's
okay. Well, let's go to Eric first, then we'll come back to Julie.
All right.
Come back, Eric.
Thank you, Eric Rainey, WPFW News, Public Affairs. I previously served 7 years on the station board and 2 years on the cab. I was making every attempt to be a candidate this evening for board chair, but I noticed about 20 minutes ago the balloting is already underway. So this may be a matter to perhaps be discussed later. Thank you.
Thank you. Julie, are you back? Okay, Michelle. I know you hear Michelle, you're the first one here. Michelle. Oh, here you are.
It's Michael.
Michelle, I see you. Can you unmute? Okay, Julie.
Okay, hello. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, this okay. is Michelle. Go ahead, Michelle. I was having trouble unmuting.
Yes.
Well, greetings, everybody. I ran for the board despite the fact that I was concerned that it was a suicidal attempt, but I've been a listener since 1979. I was the original host of Tehill, D.C.,
Wow. And
I'm an activist out here in Ward 7.
Welcome.
Happy to see you all.
Happy to have you. Julie?
Hey, sorry, I'm on travel and trying to figure out the Zoom on the phone. Anyway, thanks all. Happy to be back on the LSB. I did a previous stint and also served as a PMB director for a couple of years, including being the PMB chair, which is an awful lot of work. So I'm happy to be back here at the LSB. Been a longtime listener since I moved to DC in 1999. And I really, really care about WPFW and its future. And I got involved, kind of in the kerfuffle, if that's a good enough word, when John Hughes was the GM at PFW and did a massive change of the grid. And that was just really heartbreaking as a listener. So anyway, been involved in PFW in one way or another since then and really looking forward to a continued upward trajectory here at PFW. So thanks.
Thank you. Again, thank you all and welcome. We hope to put your talents to good use for the greater good of the station. I have just a couple of brief remarks as an overview, primarily for the new folks, but as a little bit of a refresher for everybody else. The local station board is an advisory committee to the Pacifica National Board, charged with supporting the radio station. There are three specific jobs that we are charged to do. One is to approve and review the budget. Second is to participate in some way in the nomination of candidates for the vetting and nomination of candidates for general manager and program director, and also to engage in annual evaluations for both of those positions. And the third kind of statutory responsibility, if you will, is to host two annual town hall meetings, as we did this past weekend through our the leadership of our outreach committee, to provide an opportunity for input from our listener members. In the meantime, we may be involved in some special particular projects like, currently with relocation, in the last couple of years, developing, the newsletter again, coming out of the outreach committee with the leadership of Art Island as examples. But always, at least in my view, our priorities remain around, building membership and raising funds. Those are sort of our existential, concerns as a board. Our monthly meetings, are, opportunities to share information, ask questions, and receive input, from the community. We occasionally will take some specific actions. Most of the work, however, does get done in committees. Everyone should be on at least one committee. That's where the work gets done. That's where you get an opportunity to really have dialogue and thrash out the details of different proposals, try out different ideas, build a consensus, and bring them back to the group to make a decision. Also, you can come up with an idea during the meeting, but then it still has to go back with a committee or form an ad hoc committee. But all of the back and forth happens between these monthly meetings. They are not a forum for giving speeches. They are not opportunities for extended back and forth. They should not be occasions to throw shade at other delegates. If you have a particular concern with another member, I would ask that you not call them out in a reply all group email. Just get in touch with somebody directly. Pick up the phone or email them directly and talk out whatever your concerns are. Everybody doesn't need to bear witness to that. Understand that you may have some particular things that you would like to accomplish on the board. I think, you know, most of us probably do have some ideas when we get on here. That can be frustrating because we always have to understand that the majority always rules. Even the authority of the chair is limited to drafting the agenda for the meetings, showing up once a month with a whip and a chair and staying awake for 4 hours on Zoom. Any ruling by the chair can always be overruled by the majority. So it's never about any one of us. It's always about the group. We should always keep in mind whatever is the most people believe at that time is in the best interest of the station. And we can never make the world a better place unless we can first be kind to one another. That's it. Thank you. Michelle, you had your hand up, but then we're going to move back into the agenda. Michelle? You're on mute.
I'm sorry.
I was on my hand raised because I printed out a list of the board and there are at least two people on here that are not on the list. So I was a little confused about who the board is. Neither Adele nor Andrew are on the board list.
Yes, Andrew and Adele are expiring members, so their term ended like 10 minutes ago.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. That was the first part of the goodbye hello. Andrew and Adele were the two people, who are here tonight whose term is expiring. Okay, time to get into the management reports. I did not see, did Miyuki come in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is Katia here?
Yes, she is.
I'm right here.
Okay, you're up. Let's give you about 15 minutes to run down your report.
Go ahead, Katia.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, yeah. Thank you. good evening, everyone. I had the report up and already. I'm reading from my phone, and then, of course. So, first of all, thank you for the very positive LSB town hall. It was great to see so many friendly faces, so many supporters. And I saw people that were supporters that I hadn't seen literally in a year, a couple of years. So it was great. My condolences, excuse me, to everyone on the board on the passing of Donna Grimes. I had no idea until Ellis started talking about her that she had passed away. Ironically, last Saturday when I did Gaza on My Mind, I did a presentation at Sankofa, and I met her son, who's very interested. He's about Jordan Strudwick's age, and he works there and very interested in volunteering. And then he told me he was Donna's son. And her sister went to high school with me, actually, and she's on the CAB. I'll see her Monday evening at the CAB meeting. But, I see her in the community all the time. But I did know that was her sister. So my condolences to all of you all. And, of course, Minerva, you shared with me about your brother on Saturday. And, again, my condolences to you. Safe travels to your family. I'm just going to – we sent the report out yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go very briefly through this. I won't go into all the detail written here. But if that's okay, Dennis, but
yes, that's perfect.
Back at it, and they can ask questions, and they can always email me after the fact even. So Eckington Place, as you heard from Miyuki, it's secure, well underway. We start, tours tomorrow for our essential music programmers. That is for those who engineer, who come in to do their music program. And have to engineer and have to know their way around the space. We're having 3 days of touring for them happening. We're also compiling a directory with pictures, phone numbers, and email addresses of everyone who has to access that building. And again, our public affairs people will stay on Zoom because the while it's a beautiful studio, it is absolutely not conducive to conducting live programs there because it's one room. So you cannot have guests and hosts in the same room with the engineers because the engineers need to be able to do their work, to talk, to answer the phone, et cetera. But it really is a lovely space, and it'll be a formidable home for our broadcasting going forward. And so we thank Miyuki for securing that for us. the WPFW app is returning. We've hit some bumps in terms of we have to apply for both becoming an Apple developer and a Google Play developer, and we are almost done with the Google Play, and that means that the app can be available in the Google Play Store. If you have an Android and you've ever downloaded an app, that is where you would get it. It's free of charge. What's beautiful about the app this time around, because we had the app several years ago, is that it will have a podcast feature, so we can have up to 5 programs, and I'm not sure whether we can rotate them or not. We're just getting into it, but we can have up to 5 programs each week that are on-demand listening, that are essentially podcasts, which will be great because that'll extend what our wonderful news department is doing with the In Case You Missed It newsletter. It'll also be something that we can actually put on our social media to let people know that there is another way to listen to WPFW. And we are also in the throes of signing up as an Apple developer. We had a registration. We have to now migrate the registration to actually Stephanie Wells as the Pacifica executive. So we're in the process of doing that. And, you know, it's just a slow process. So those will be up hopefully before the end of the year. They'll be available in both the App Store if you're an iPhone user and again, the Google Play Store if you're an Android user. We have a wonderful new social media initiative. I don't know how many of you follow WPFWDC on Instagram, but please do if you haven't already done so. And whenever you see a post, please like,
we share. That is how we build followers. That is how we build, we identify and bring in new listeners, as well as expand our donor base. And we have a wonderful...
I'm sorry, it's WPFWDC.
WPFWDC. Thank you, Dennis, for doing it right away. Absolutely. And you'll see some wonderful posts by our new social media consultant. His name is Quadjo Danso. We found him because he is the social media consultant for Friends of Congo. And for those of you who are just new, we've been talking to him for at least 6 or 7 months. We have formed a close relationship with Friends of the Congo and their executive director, Maurice Carney. And so he does all of their social media, and he was able to grow not only their followers, but increase their donors, both exponentially. And even with what he's done for us since we launched on Giving Tuesday, and we will continue through the end of this year, we have already had the engagement on our Instagram increase by 325%. And someone asked me the other day, how did I know that? It's because it's in the analytics that we see. So we have had people who have not only started following us, but people who have gone over and given to WPFW on our website. Unfortunately, because of Pacifica, like other nonprofits do on Instagram and Facebook, you can actually raise money there, and that would be the best thing. But Pacifica has to sort that out, so we will be able to do that. So right now we're not able to do that. But they can come to our website, and you know, you just put link in bio, and people have been doing that. We had some sustaining members come out of that, and I'm sure we'll see. We've already seen an uptick. Sataria can say more about this, but we've seen an uptick in donors and in our followers. So we're very happy about that. The other thing that
excuse me, I just want to remind, I see some background noise. I don't know if that's you.
No, that's not me. I don't know
okay,
where that
is. So just make sure everyone mutes, please. Thank you.
The other thing that we have returned is text to donate, which is really important because now people, you know, you run into a friend, you run into a family member, say, hey, you want to support BFW? You can just text WPFWFM to 801-801, and the prompts will guide you. It's quick, it's easy, and it's fun. I did it to test it, and it's wonderful, and it's another quick and easy way to make donations. It's also a way that we can publicize on Instagram until such time that hopefully we get our nonprofit fundraising status on Instagram and Facebook. Our social justice and jazz calendars are back. They're both in full swing. We've been playing them now for the last couple of weeks. Capital BOP is our partner in, which is a presenting organization here in D.C. Giovanni Rusinello, who is a New York Times reporter. Some of you may know him. He was an editor actually there. He's also writing a book on Gil Scott-Heron is one of the founders of Capital BOP, along with the esteemed now Luke Stewart, bass player for Irreversible Entanglements, with David Murray and others. They founded Capital BOP, and so now their organization is partnering with us to bring our jazz calendar back, and it sounds great. Social justice calendar is back. We used funds from DC, Diverse City Fund. We used a grant that we got from them to have trained a Howard University student, Netha Freeman, who started the social justice calendar, trained Consuela Joy, with the help of Baba Aize Sabatier, to produce a social justice calendar. And so that is back as well. We have some upcoming special programming, but all of this special programming will always include Democracy Now! We are not preempting Democracy Now! The world is in too much turmoil. And of course, it is one of the sources that we have on updates on a daily basis on what's happening in Palestine. So that will not be touched. But the upcoming programming, special program we have next week during our pledge drive is Remembering Bill Lucy and Centering the Black Workers Movement. That happens Monday, December 16th from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. On Wednesday, we present From the Pen of Q, a Quincy Jones retrospective, Wednesday, December 18th, 5 a.m. until 8 p.m. And then sadly, I mean, it's sad because we have to include her now, but Truth is on Its Way, a tribute to now ancestor Nikki Giovanni and Amiri Baraka at 90. And that happens Thursday, December 19th, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Christmas Day, we want to make sure that our union staff can be completely off. And so we have some soulful sounds of the season presented, beginning at, really starting at 5 a.m. or even all night, but technically 9 a.m. until 12 a.m., which will include shows by Texas Fred, Helen Vixens of Sophie's Parlor, Scooter Magruder, and Donald Temple. And then, of course, New Year's Day, it's our annual survey of the year in jazz. It's called New Year, New Jazz. And it does three things. It looks at the best jazz recordings of the year. It remembers artists who became ancestors in that year, being 2024, and highlights favorite performances of 2024. And that is produced by our own Willard Jenkins and our stellar programmers. This month or last month's special programming, we did the National Day of Mourning, which we've done several years in a row now on what is also known as Thanksgiving. November 28th, we began at 10 a.m. and we went until 7 p.m. And we had special presentations by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash with Building Bridges. We had John Kane, who did a special edition of Resistance Radio. And then, of course, we went live at noon to United American Indians of New England. Every year they do a rally in March at Plymouth Rock, and we broadcast that live last night. We commemorated International Human Rights Day with the beautiful program that aired from Metropolitan AME Church, presented by Sanctions Kill. And we heard from the ambassadors of both Cuba and Nicaragua, as well as the deputy minister of Venezuela. I might be getting those two mixed up, as well as Pastor Lamar from Metropolitan AME. So we did that from 7 until 8:30 p.m. I'm speaking quick, but that's kind of the overview of where we are right now. It's just a lot going on right now. It's a busy time. We literally have been loading boxes, moving our offices. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions. And again, you have the full report, not only attached, but embedded. So you can read it. You can email me. You can text me, whatever works for you.
Okay. Thank you. We will take about 5 minutes or so worth of questions. I see Mr. Ramey's hand. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam PD, for joining us this evening. I have somewhat of a question. In the last several weeks, have been getting the WPFW newsletter. I think the first one I got was promoting Julianne Melville's program. And by now, most people within proximity of the Beltway are familiar with the Melville matter that occurred here some weeks ago. I guess my question would be, why am I getting the newsletter, or why is anyone getting the newsletter promoting that program? But I'll just say, and you can comment if you like, or if you don't, it might be understandable. But the egregiousness or the dubiousness of that affair is something that I think would never be tolerated or appreciated, nor appreciated at ABC, NBC, CBS, nor TBS, but it somehow tolerated at Pacifica and WPFW. And I think that's really unfortunate.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
May I respond very briefly?
Yes.
Okay. So for those that don't know what Eric's talking about, we did and I forgot to mention this is special programming, but on, I'm actually not going to respond to that because the matter has been handled with both Pacifica and at the WPFW level. The WPFW level. So, okay. This is a personal matter and we're going to leave it there.
Okay. Thank you. Sue?
I think Katia's reaction was more than enough. I think the one thing I would like to say is our current effort is to get more of the public affairs programmers to participate in this newsletter. So that's what I'll be working on, is to get more.
All right. Thank you. Who else is there? Wayne.
Hi. Thank you, Chair. I want to thank Katia for coming in today and giving your report. Thank you very much for keeping us abreast. It's always great to hear the report from you directly. But I know how busy your schedule is, so I can understand that. But it's always great to hear you give the report. I just want to ask, is there a plan in place to do any live broadcasting from any jazz festivals, or have you looked into that, or doing concert broadcasts or recordings for a later date? Have you thought about that? Is that something in what you would think about to put on air?
Well, thank you, Wayne, first of all. WPFW has had a history of doing that. We have broadcast from the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. We used to broadcast every year from the Roslyn Jazz Festival. The DC Jazz Festival does not allow us to broadcast, just so you know, we've asked. But it's not, but a broadcast is not included in their contract, so they can't do that. We have broadcast from Bethesda Blues and Jazz. So the short answer is we have done that work, and we're very happy to do it again. We used to, do something, called, we used to have like a jazz festival of the air on Memorial Day weekend. We haven't done it now in a couple of years. I know it fell off like during COVID, but right. We're all about that. And actually Rosalyn decided that, it was too many people were staying home and listening and not coming out to the festival.
Not coming out. Why?
Yeah, exactly. But we are open to it, and we've done it, and we're willing to do more. I don't think, I will say also the live broadcast landscape has changed in that, as you remember, as you might remember during COVID, so many venues started to stream their concerts
right.
themselves. That right. for them, it's not really a boom, you know, because they're selling tickets to the streaming. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So well, it's not you know, but okay. if you have a specific thing that you're talking about, just talk to me, you know?
Okay. Well, I mean, I could talk off air, but just briefly, just to get it out of my head so it won't stay in my head the rest of the day. Just if you recording for a later broadcast, and so you don't interrupt the flow of pay, but that's just, I wanted to get it out of my head. I'll talk to you off this meeting.
Okay, that's great. And the thing to keep in mind, I mentioned it before, but the venues have to have permission from the artist to use that broadcast.
I do understand.
And a lot of times they don't include it, and therefore, you know, WWOZ, they put it in their contracts, but many places don't. Because that, you work with artists, that raises the flag. They're like, well, we don't know.
Right.
But yeah, let's talk about it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Madam Secretary, if you haven't noticed, Bill Curtis is here, and so is Ambrose Lane, who now has the floor.
Okay. And excuse me. Can you hear me okay? This is Minerva. I'm also present.
Yes.
Okay. And I also would like to ask Katia something after Ambrose or whomever. Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that Sue Goodwin had responded about the public affairs newsletter. And so to the extent that I can, time permitting, I would certainly like to contribute to that effort.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Minerva, and then we'll go to
Chair. Could I just clarify for Ambrose? Anyone can submit. Sue can give the guidelines, but it's open to every public affairs programmer, and Chris Banger Drowns has sent out the guidelines, but everyone, they don't choose who is in the newsletter. The programmers actually decide to place themselves in the newsletter. I just want to be clear on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for the clarification. Okay, Minerva.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. And, thank you for those who sent a text message to me regarding my brother passing. Katia, I think it's great that you've come tonight and all the information that you're sharing. I would like to take this opportunity to ask you to encourage your programmers when they have time to take part in the programming committee, because we have that group under the LSB, and we also have a role to work and assist the staff with things that they're doing in terms of programming and providing some suggestions and ideas. Also, I want to thank Art Hyland. He's the one who helped put that newsletter together, and I think he came out and he started it, and it's great that the programmers are going to become engaged with it, but with all the hard work and everything that has happened over the last 3 years, it's good that it's starting to really grow and bloom. And so we'll look forward to working with you and the programmers and all the staff in 2025 doing the great work for the station. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Minerva. And just to clarify, there are two newsletters. There's Arthur Hyland's excellent newsletter, which we love. It spotlights our programmers. But then there's the weekly. That's a monthly. Is it month? Well, you can tell me. Monthly, I believe. But there's also the weekly, in case you missed it, which highlights specifically our public affairs programmers to get people to go back and do appointment listening. And that's the newsletter that is generated by our news department, just to clarify. So there are two newsletters that go out. Okay. And I will definitely, I'm happy to, if I can get the, I know it's there and I'll remember it, I'll send a message out to the programmers letting them know when the public, where the programming committee meetings are and encourage them to attend. Absolutely. And we look forward to a cooperative 2025.
Thank you. And to that point, we will, I'm going to issue a reminder later in the meeting about, we need to restaff all of our committees. And, we do have, six, programmers, who have been selected by the staff to be on this board. One place to start would be to, make sure that we have good representation on the programming committee of those folks, as well as any additional programmers who choose to participate. Okay, Sitaria, you're up.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me yet again. It's my pleasure. For new people, my name is Sitaria Joyner. I am the membership coordinator here at WPFW, and I've been here since May of 2000. So I love WPFW, as I'm sure you do as well. So here we go. I did send out the report, and we're just going to go through it really quickly. As many of you know, on November 20th, we did DC's Great Guitars at Blues Alley. It was very well attended. We very much enjoyed it, and that garnered us $7,000 over two performances. So very successful. Thank you to all of you who participated. You know, I want to just say here, thank you to Tom Cole, especially. We really appreciate his efforts in putting it together and making sure it came off and was successful. As Katia mentioned, we did do a Giving Tuesday. And, you know, we tried something different. So we're really doing a big social media campaign for December as our end of drive, as a part of our end of drive, end of calendar year effort and campaign for donations. So just that day made $5,515.34. That's only that day. And it is an ongoing campaign. And our goal for the entire campaign through social media is $10,000. So we've already, you know, gotten more than halfway there. So it appears as though it's going to be a success. We hope it continues to grow and we continue to see, you know, more and more engagement in our social media platforms. The end of year drive is starting on Sunday the 15th. Normally I'd be here asking you guys to sign up and volunteer, but you know, we're moving, we've taken the phones down and all that good stuff. So we're not asking you to come in to answer phones, but as always, I'm always asking you to donate. I know you're probably thinking, is Sitaria going to give us the hard pitch? I'm not going to give you the hard pitch because I know you are aware of PFW. You know and love WPFW. But I do want to encourage you all to, I'm sorry. I thought I cut my camera on. I apologize. I do want to encourage all of you to look at our planned giving, especially because you have listened for so long. You are invested people in WPFW and you are the type of folks we are looking to join our planned giving legacy circle. I did list in the report different ways you can give, different ways you can help. I won't go through all of them. As Katia mentioned, we've got a new one that is donate by text. You text WPFWFM to the numbers 801-801. I want to make sure because I've been accused that when you say oh, sometimes people actually type oh. So it's 801-801. As that, I did provide some links. I know that, especially when we're looking at, we've got new people coming on and some people returning from the past, but as we look to fundraise and help WPFW fundraise, I know people have asked for different language and different things. So yes, I'm giving you the pitch, but I'm also providing you information so that you can pitch to others. You don't have to, you know, be nervous and try and come up with it on your own. You can just take excerpts from some of the links I sent you and send them out to friends, family, colleagues, associates, the paper boy, the cable guys, and whomever else you're coming into contact with. And that's pretty much it for me. As I said, we've got the drive coming up. We've got the coat drive is tomorrow. So please feel free to participate in that and the holiday celebration to which, you know, we did ask that people registered for it. But if you'd like to come by and see us, but we are technically at capacity for our holiday celebration on December 15th. Did I say tomorrow? The coat drive is Saturday. My days are running together, you all. I apologize for that. The coat drive is December 14th, Saturday the 14th. I see you have some questions.
Yeah, we got Kamau and then Aaron.
Okay.
Hey, Santaria, how are you? Hey.
I'm doing well.
On Saturday, and appreciate the report, one of our listeners asked about the membership, the number of members, and so I did not have an answer. And so I was wondering how, going forward, we can get on a rhythm, maybe monthly or quarterly, to actually have that number available to us so that when board members and or staff, for that matter, are asked, we can have a reply. Is there a way that the system or you all can kind of give us? It doesn't have to be to exactly, but
it doesn't change a whole lot from week to or month to month, but I can provide it quarterly, just so you guys can see it, and it gives you some information of, you know, see how it's going up or down. Or I don't mind doing that at all.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think we got Eric.
Yep. Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Chitaria. The Blues Alley event, did we incur any overhead from that? You mentioned a figure of 7,000. Was that all profit? Mm-hmm. And if so, did we?
That's all profit.
Did we have any overhead at all?
We did not. We did not. The venue, you know, they took the bar and stuff like that. So no, we didn't incur any cost for the Blues Alley event.
All right. Thanks very much. Congratulations.
No, thank you.
Miyuki, you just can't wait. You're next in line anyway.
Well, I just wanted to answer Eric's question. Sitaria is correct in that we didn't incur any costs. In addition to that, Tom paid for all the musicians' food. Anyone who performed, Tom took care of that on his own, so that the musicians completely donated their services and their time, but Tom paid for whatever drinks and food they had. So it was all taken care of, and all the money was given to us.
You asked me to follow up with you about the coat drive. Should I?
No, that I'll get to you. You know, that's personal.
Okay. That another time. Okay. All right.
Okay. And so, should I go ahead, Dennis?
Yeah. Thank you, Sitaria.
Okay.
My pleasure. And I'm gonna put my. I try and always remember to put my email in the chat in case you all anyone thinks of questions later on. Feel free to email me and ask me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sitaria. And thank you very much, as Katia stated, thank you for the town hall meeting. I thought it was very positive. It was very a nice fellowship and really, really a great experience with listeners, LSB, and us working together. So thank you for that. I am so sad to hear about Donna Grimes. I just heard about it, so I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say about that. We've had a lot of passages in the last couple of weeks, and just remember how tenuous and fragile our lives are and how we shouldn't take each other or the work that we do and the care that we give for granted. I want to thank Tia and Satari. I think they gave pretty comprehensive updates on what's going on. I just wanted to let you all know that we will be out of, I'm in 1990 now, packing things up. Wayne had to tell me to mute my phone so that we're taking care of getting those things out. It's just about cleared. Mo is on his way back from Delaware to take the last remaining pieces of equipment to put in his trailer so he can take it to some of the other affiliates. So we'll be out of here 12:31. We should be up live at Sirius. We got the lease approved last Friday. We started working this week. Mo is returning to start that with our other engineers, our other, hired engineers. They have to pull a cable line. The biggest challenge right now is the cable line, in that we have to make sure we have internet, but they feel confident. They're working with Comcast to have access to that. It's not, businesses aren't the same as a home. I thought it was just a 24-hour, you know how you call Comcast, they come with, it's something like that. It's a 45 to 90-day lead-in, but they're going to be making adjustments just so that we can be okay on that. So that's going to be taking place this week, and hopefully we will stay on target and be live reporting totally from Sirius XM on the 21st. And it's Eckington Place. We want to say Eckington Place because we have an NDA stating that we cannot say that we are broadcasting from on air. We cannot say on air that we are broadcasting from Sirius XM. Thank you, Sue, for that clarification about any programmer can be on the newsletter that comes out on a weekly basis. Sue and Chris have devised that in order to promote our public affairs. It's brilliant. It's doing very well. But anyone can do that. We also have the newsletter that Author, thank you very much, is doing. And then from time to time, Satari sends out a newsletter from WPFW, either updating people on what's going on or asking for additional funds or keeping people abreast. So there are several pieces of communication that are going. On another layer, Katia went into depth about Kwaja, who's been amazing. I am not a social media person, but from all the feedback that I'm receiving, it's been an excellent resource for us. And we are really able to, you're on camera. We're working hard here. We'll be able to multiply, hopefully. You are working. I guess that you're working. That we'll be able to exponentially increase our listenership. So thank you for all that. I don't want to take up a whole lot more time. I hope that you all registered and are planning to come Saturday to the holiday party. Robin has literally transformed this place, but I'm telling you all now.
Tell them they can come on Saturday.
We need help on Saturday?
We need.
Okay, this is Robin taking part of my report. We do need some help if you're available on Saturday.
No,
but
not on Saturday.
Nope, on Saturday we don't need help?
No.
I'm sorry. Let me get the report so they can go to the meeting.
Oh, okay. We need help on Friday to move these.
Things. We got help. We're okay.
Oh, you got it?
Never mind. I'm sorry. We're working. I'm not, so sorry about that. So on Sunday, if you want to come, please just email me because we're at full capacity. But as an LSB member, just email me if you'd like to come. We'll try to do that. But I have to tell everyone that comes that the transformation that you'll see here has to do with Robin and her wonderful relationships with these companies. We have over $10,000 donated to us to transform 1990. It's going to be a different place than you've ever seen before. And Katia's picked the menu for the food, and it should be a very nice exchange. And then we got our great programmers doing the ones and twos.
Yes.
They're on the ones and the twos. So, okay. So any questions, anybody? I'm sorry. I have to get this done. We have to get this stuff done. So I've been here trying to clear this place out. Anything else? Mo's coming soon.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for me?
Sue's got her hand up. Let's see.
You know, I just really, again, need to express my appreciation to you, Miyuki, to Mo, to Katia, anyone else for carrying this load. I really can't imagine what it's been like to do something this monumental with so many moving parts. I imagine there's been some sleepless nights, but you've all maintained your cool and your calm, and you've communicated everything we need to know. So I just have the utmost appreciation for you.
Thank you very much, Sue, but thank you so much for your help. And Robin's standing right next to me right now. She's helping. We got to Sirius XM because the relocation committee has Abdel on it. And because Katia introduced me to Frenchie, who's a tremendous engineer. And through those contacts, we were able to get that because we tried all our resources. As he said, Arthur has got at least three bequeathments now that we're able to extend. Sataria, as I said at the town hall meeting, she is the membership coordinator, but she's doing so much of the bookkeeping since Annette, left and it is assisting. People are going beyond their normal jobs. They're extending. They're working hard. And you all are part of that too. Every time, you know, you do your work and you work in conjunction with us. And I'm so grateful. I'm not doing it by myself, but thank you very, very much. Oh, and then Kamau, of course, with the relocation committee and finance committee were, yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Any other questions for the IGM?
They keep coming at my meeting. Yes, I'll ask for, do you need more volunteers for Sunday? Okay. And so in addition to, if you would like, if you all have some time on Sunday, we can use some additional volunteers. Please contact me directly and I will forward you on to Robin. We're working here now. And so I'm not in my office by myself. I'm in the station office working with you all.
Okay.
And Katia said, you're working. Okay. Any other questions? You want me? I'm going to mute myself and take myself off camera, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I'm trying to do a meeting.
Okay. Next on the agenda will be the, what we got here? The Finance Committee. Mr. Treasurer. I know you're here.
Yep, I'm here. Thank you. Sorry about that. Appreciate it, Dennis. Mr. Chair.
Yep.
All right. The Finance Committee, for the WPFW Local Station Board, met on December 11th, which is, December 9th, this past Monday. Present at the meeting, myself, Sabu Hakeem, Tony Leon, Eileen Rosin, Dennis Williams, and Muki Williams. The agenda for that meeting was our call to order, the roll call. We approved the agenda. We had a report on the November financial activity. We reviewed a motion from the PMB that is going to impact our committee. We reviewed the quarter three, 2024, fiscal year 2024, quarter three income statement. We had questions and then we adjourned our meeting. The discussion points during that meeting, we had a update that included that the payroll for the rest of the year was actually funded. Typically, it's a price a month payroll, but the station was able, through the fundraising efforts, to actually fund payroll for the staff through December 31st. There was also a discussion around the separation of duties. There was a question about cash handling and confirmed that the process for cash handling in the office is separated but between two staff members. And we have a pretty decent handle, or they do, on the way in which they handle funds. The PMB's motion, and hopefully you all saw the report, and I'll read it. The Pacifica National Board instructs the local station boards of all five stations to limit voting membership on committees that deal with governance, finance, and or personnel issues, the local station board members from that station. The Pacifica National Board further instructs local station boards of all five stations to conduct personnel discussions pertaining to individuals in closed session attended only by local station board members who have signed non-disclosure agreements. And the impact on our committee is such that we have several members, probably the majority, that are not actually on or members of the board. We've continued to allow them to vote both in approving the budgets and voting on motions within that committee. With this particular motion now passed by the National Board, those individuals would not have standing or be able to vote in the committee. They can attend and assist and do the work, but they would not be able to vote as a member. So it's a pretty big impact on our finance committee. Let me go over the numbers. So for the month of November, the ending bank balance on November 30th was $157,931. The contributions slash cash received during the month of November totaled $126,616. The Truist account balance as of 12/9, which is our meeting date, was $85,574. And there's a new account, industrial bank account. This committee should know that the relocation committee, this board, excuse me, should know that the relocation committee raised some funds on a weekend drive and a one-day drive that amounted to $70,000.
There you are.
And nice. Part of that was to put that money into a separate account, and that's been done. The account is with Industrial Bank, and the $70,000 is there in the report. Salaries paid in the month, and again, that's the four pay periods through December, $92,817. Power rent, $6,233. The telephone, $3,579. Electricity at the tower, $6,767. The call center services cost during the fund drive, $3,565. There was some consulting for board ops and some election night activity, $4,500, and some other expenses amounting to $2,291. Total expenses in the month, $119,753. Included in the report, and I apologize, I'm looking at how this came out, is actually the fiscal year 2024 quarter three income statement. It is barely legible, and so we'll resend that because it does contain both the current, the now past fiscal year and the fiscal 23 actual numbers. So I do apologize for that. It's not the most legible, so we'll resend that. And then, of course, on the final two pages is a report that is shared by our executive director, kind of giving you an overview and an outlay of big picture of the entire division, the entire organization,
I'm on mute
and
now.
Exactly kind of the standing that we have.
Can you unmute, please? Go ahead.
So that's the current financial position. One of the things of import right now, the station is currently working on trying to secure a 50% discount on the rent, office rent. So you don't see that as part of the costs associated with the month of November, is because currently there's a back and forth trying to reduce the what has been a pretty much an exorbitant number, kind of almost crippling number on the station in terms of the rent at $19.90. So more to come with that. I'll pause there and take any questions.
Okay. Mr. Byfield.
He muted.
He muted, Mike.
He muted again.
Okay.
Yep, gotcha.
That's better?
Yep, we got you.
Okay. So you mentioned that members of that committee that are not members of the LSB, that's the PNB Finance Committee, I guess, aren't allowed to vote anymore.
Let's talk about the WPF, the LSB Finance Committee.
Are they allowed to propose motions?
That was not specifically spelled out in the motion that I read. So that'd be a good question.
Okay, because I can, you know, I can see them not voting. That makes sense. But if someone has good ideas that are putting forward and we block that, then the motivation for someone to participate is really, you know, that would be discouraging. Okay, that's my only question.
Good point. My suggestion would be that is a decision that should be made within committee. And if there's any confusion or controversy, then it would come to the LSB to decide. That would be my suggestion. Minerva.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you, or good evening, Kamal. Thank you for the report you just shared with us. I have a couple of questions, and let me just comment that but that's not me.
Sounds like a dentist.
Yeah.
Okay, now may I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So being part of the committee and the PNV that dealt with the motion that you spoke about, or the what you just read, Kamal, there was no discussion that the individuals who were part of the meetings could not work with the committee in making motions or things. But I will take that back again and ask for confirmation and ask them to send that out so no one's discouraged about it. And I'm looking at, during the year, the outreach committee raised funds, a 5K blues festival. And I need to understand where do those funds go once they are turned over to the station? Are they, what are they used for? Let me put it that way.
All the funds are used for operations. The funds go into a singular bank account with Truist Bank and, Truist Bank operations.
Okay. I know that when we put together the budget for 2025, we identified or earmarked funds for to help with the expense for the different activities that the outreach committee or anyone else, any other committee would be doing. And how will those funds be handled? Because if everything's going for operations, then, and if we've identified funds to be used for expenses, where will they sit? So when that activity comes up, we'll have some seed money. Or has that even been discussed or thought about?
Yeah, no, there's you're talking about basically fund accounting where we would separate on the financials, different accounts, if you will, for those activities. It is not set up like that. The revenues come in, they're divided into listener support, major donor, there's some grant income line items, car donations, but we do not currently segregate the funds based on committees. I did ask each of the committees to submit a budget, try and assure that some of the funds that are raised actually go to the particular activities, but we do not have the bookkeeping currently. And again, remember, the bookkeeping is maintained by the national office, all right? So we do not have the current bookkeeping that would delineate activities in that fashion. But it's a good suggestion.
All right. Please think about it. And, you know, I'll be sharing it with other committees as well, because I think it's real important for us going forward. Thank you again for the report.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Switch hats. Relocation.
All right, relocation committee. Our relocation committee consists of myself, Mo Thomas, Miyuki Williams, Adele Stan, Verna Avery Brown, Ronald Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Wayne Bruce, Dennis Williams, and Robert Gordon. Our committee last met on Wednesday, December 4th at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. Prior to that, our rhythm on that particular committee was to meet each Wednesday, except for the Wednesdays in which the full LSB meets, again, at 7:30 on those days via Zoom. Synopsis briefly of the committee's goals, accomplishments, and the next steps. So the goals, big picture of what we tried to establish as a committee is to reduce the property size of the footprint in which the office space, the station occupies, was to reduce it by about 50%. We did that by going through a minimum space requirements assessment. We worked with the chief engineer to determine the actual offices, studio space, air control, all those that would be the minimum in order to operate efficiently and effectively. 2,210 square feet was determined to be that space size. And then, of course, right now our annual office rent budget is $100,000. You know, buttress that against about $250,000, in office rent expense is where the number, was over the last fiscal year. Some of the accomplishments, we reviewed, over 100 plus properties in that last year, working with actually two different brokers. We had to, let the original, broker we had go, and we now have a new broker here. And so, between the two, about 100 properties were reviewed on a list. Committee visited approximately 30 properties, and we've secured 5 letters of intent to date. Those letters of intent were with the landlords at 4340 Connecticut Avenue Northwest, 3520 Connecticut Avenue Northwest, 1003 K Street Northwest, and 3962 Minnesota Avenue Northeast, and then finally 1110 Bonifant Street in Silver Spring, Maryland. We've raised approximately $70,000. Again, just reviewing that in the Finance Committee to assist with the relocation needs. And then also recently signed a lease to secure a temporary space to broadcast from with Sirius XM Radio. So our next steps here are to safely store the WPFW assets, and that's been an ongoing process here over the last month, 30 days or so, trying to make sure we have it's been a spring cleaning exercise of sort. You know, there's a lot of older equipment there, being a 47-year-old station. We have had a lot of pack rat activity, and so there's some things that the chief engineer has identified as donations, so those things will be donated or given away. And then, of course, those things that are still functioning and going to be kept, he's going to be storing those for us until we have a permanent location. And, of course, that search continues for office space and studio space. Again, that 1500 Eckington Place is a temporary holdover, so we don't lose what we are able to do in broadcasting. So in brief, you know, I just want to make sure we thank everybody. It was a lot of great tips and leads and referrals that came in from all our listeners, from you all on the board. And so it's been a difficult task trying to weed through all that, but the committee is kind of, you know, taking on that challenge and, you know, worked tirelessly. I believe it's been a great committee, to be honest with you, to see that we get ourselves a permanent home. So I'll take any questions on that.
Thank you. Ron.
How are you doing, Kamal? The temporary location that has been secured for our continued broadcast, there are some parameters that we're going to have to operate by. Mentioning, like, we can't go out and advertise, you know, or mention where we're actually broadcasting from because of the arrangements with Sirius XM. Can you expand on that? Because I think it's very important that our new members understand that, so that you know, this it's they view it very seriously. The Sirius XM people, and violation could void the contract. So could you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's correct. I mean, basically, this is their first foray into this kind of an arrangement. As you know, everyone who broadcasts under that banner is affiliated with SiriusXM. It's their first time going outside of their product and their branding. So what they don't want is us to kind of basically, without really being part of it, kind of merge ourselves with the Sirius brand. So it's strictly an NDA. Each programmer will be signing that. Each programmer knows that it's a one strike and you're out scenario. So, and, you know, repeat offenses could void the lease. And that is very, very important for us, seeing as though it's very hard to move a radio station on the fly. So I think our programmers have been well informed. Those NDAs will go out before we broadcast and go live. I believe it's on the 21st or the 20th.
Okay. Michael.
Can you hear me this time?
Yep.
Okay. So I remember us 11 years ago, I guess, or 12 years ago, protesting against our relocation from Champlain to a Bain Capital owned, which is Clear Channel, location. We were successful in stopping that move, and we ended up at L Street, and then later on to where we are now, K Street. So, not to beat a dead horse, I know that this is a crisis, but it's really embarrassing for us to be in the same location as SiriusXM in terms of what we're supposed to represent. I just want to make that statement. Let me just move on and ask this serious question. There still is a real estate commercial crash emanating from the pandemic, and whether we want to have brokers tell us all kinds of stories, there still is a serious glut, and any person that walks on the streets of the district DMV will notice that. So I would hope that we can in the maybe very near future be able to secure a location where we can be more comfortable in. And in the past, when we had secured a location, which never manifested, there were some backup locations for studios that that we had looked at. I don't know if there's any communication happening with Mo or Jerry, but I would still think those exist just in case we mess up and they kick us out. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's something maybe I can try to find out about it. And come on, you can probably look into it. Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to go to Eric, and that'll be the last comment. And then we'll have to take a break for community comment. I'll come back to you after on the other side, Ambrose.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed the list you just went over of potential property sites made no mention of properties in Southeast. I think there was a mention perhaps of one in Northeast. It sounded like virtually everything is in Northwest and in the most Tony parts of Northwest, Cleveland Park and Van Ness. What are the advantages to us of being in, for us, I'm sorry, of being in either Cleveland Park or Van Ness? And I know you mentioned before there is a price advantage in the Cleveland Park location. Why are we being, what is the catch for going there? Why are we getting a below market rate there? But what are the advantages of being in either Cleveland Park or Van Ness?
truly, there's really not a here or not here in any of the quadrants of the city. The committee has worked based on those parameters, square footage, cost. We also have metro access, safety, all these other things come into play. And mixing all that together, we've been able to ferret out these particular properties. I mean, there's really there's no more magic than that. And what we've come up against, like anything, it's a great location, metro access, but it's a walk-up. Can't use that. Great location, great access, has an elevator, up, price is too high. So we're trying to titrate all of these things to come together for a property that's going to be sufficient. And that's really it. There's no not here, not there activity going on. I will say the only thing that did come up in the committee was a lot of us, a lot of the committee shied away from going into Virginia. But that's about the only thing that I heard a no on. The rest of it is wide open, and we've been working hard to try and secure something. So,
thank you.
Okay. I've got a stack that we will pick up on the other side. Ambrose, if you're still interested, I got Wayne, I got Verna, and I got Tony. And I'm going to, I may delay, community comment for just 1 minute. Ellen, what time did the email go out, with the election link?
It's out now and the emails are.
Yeah, I mean, what time did it?
Pardon me?
What time did it? I was looking for mine. I was trying to ask
6:15,
you. 6:15.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Hello? Okay. So, you got an email, around 6:15 from Ellen with a link, for the vice chair election. We will now proceed with community comment. We'll come back to the leftover relocation comments. You should take this time while you're paying attention to the community comments to tally your vote, and then we will do the winners.
I'm sorry, I did not get a ballot. I've checked my email several times. Is there any way someone, Ellen, can possibly send me a resend
ballot? I'm having the same problem, Mr. Chair.
I'm not seeing one either. Maybe you can. Can you resend it, Ellen?
Same here.
I can. Who? Well, let me see who has received a ballot.
I received one. Can I?
Dennis, I did.
Something real quick.
Yeah. I received it also.
The address says OPA vote. It doesn't say Ellen's name on it. So you got to look out for OPA vote.
OPA vote. Right.
Is that correct, Ellen?
Yes, it's OPA vote.
No reply, OPA vote.
Right.
Oh, exactly. No reply, OPA, okay. Okay.
Doesn't have my name.
Can you just resend it?
Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to be recognized. Just a suggestion. I know that we're going to be voting during community comment, but there seem to be, Am I correct in saying there are two candidates for vice chair?
Correct.
Okay. I know the new people don't know either candidate. So I didn't know if it would be helpful, before people commit to voting, if they could hear, a comment or two from the two candidates so they know something more than just a name.
Well, that makes some sense, although we already sort of agreed to that, but we can if anyone feels like they need that afterwards to complete their vote, we can revisit that. So
can I ask another?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Ellen. I just wanted to explain to everyone. Once you go to OPA vote, it will tell you everything. It's ranked voting, and it the first paragraph up there will explain everything to you. And that's it. And okay. Then you just vote And then after that, I will go back. So if there anyone who has not seen anything, let me know. You can go to the chat and let me know. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
And I was going to tell Vanessa, you have two different emails and I had to do your Gmail email.
I found it in John. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Chair, I'm sorry. One more issue. I'm trying to vote now. And all I have is my cell phone and I need it. The instructions are to drag the names and it's not letting me do that on my cell phone. I'll try again. But Ellen, thank you. I did see it in the Gmail.
Okay.
Okay. This is Michelle. I don't see where to vote.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yes. All right. Okay. There's too much confusion around this. Let's go back to the original. Let's go through a community comment. Take time. Everybody check and see if you can find it and we will come back and deal with this on the other side.
Can I just say something quickly?
Very quickly.
Yes. Ranked choice voting. Apparently there's only two candidates. So no one can get more than 50% here. And if the voting is already underway, what's the significance of making a statement at this point?
I don't know. We'll see. I said we would see if anybody feels that need.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Time for community comment. We're over by 1 minute, so we will honor that. Is there anyone who would like to speak? 2 minutes first round, 1 minute follow-up?
I would. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, my hand is raised.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, Adele, you first, and then Star.
Well, I just wanted to say what a privilege it has been to serve on this board for the last 3 years. I mean, I've met so many great people on this board. People just work their butts off for free to keep this station going. Really smart people. Some of y'all are pretty funny. And I must say, I've learned so much and I'm very, very, calling you on mute. Thank you. But it's not muted. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say is thank you so much for having me on the board, and I will not be going anywhere. I'm going to be volunteering for this station and I'm going to stick around on the relocation committee as a non-voting member. But, and I really want to say a special thank you to the folks who are both on the LSB and working on the PNB. I mean, because that is some serious work. I mean, that is totally beyond my ken. And Dennis, Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank you just for your equanimity and great leadership. And of course, Kamau wearing two hats and more. And on, and Vanessa, I'm gonna skip people, so I'm just gonna shut up, but thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Star.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to, first of all, say how sorry I am to hear about, the passing of Donna Grimes. She was a wonderful, wonderful person and a very dedicated volunteer. And I hope it will be announced on air, if there's news about, memorial services for her. I'm sure I'm not the only person who would be interested and that would include listeners. Secondly, I wanted to congratulate, the new LSB members who came onto the board this evening. Third, I wanted to say that I'm rather dismayed to hear that the only reservation about places to relocate is Virginia. At least two of us spoke pretty vehemently. Pardon?
Glenn Etienne.
I'm sorry. Am I on the air? I'm. Hello. Hello. I don't know what Dennis. Are
you
there?
We can hear you. We can hear you. We can also hear people in the background too.
Who is on the? I'm hearing a lot of interference.
Everyone, star, please mute. Thank you.
Gardner?
Who is that?
Probably.
It's calling user one.
Yeah, somebody please mute that line.
Okay, got it. Go ahead, Star.
Okay, I lost my place a little bit. I wanted to congratulate WPSW for co-sponsoring a really good program, probably more than one, but I'm aware of a program that's taking place every other Sunday at Sankofa called, well, it started off as Gaza on My Mind, where artists of various genres are brought together to give background, show film clips, and give performances on. It started off with Gaza, but they've branched out to Sudan. They're going to do Haiti on the 22nd of December. And I think that it would be good to build these programs on air and for people to try to attend. One of the, then they think very well of WPFW and have been very congratulatory, you know, very praising of Patia and person Jordan, I think his name is, who's been apparently organizing the program. And really excellent. The highlight for me is that they have extremely open discussions with no cutoffs of debates and respectfully listening to divergent viewpoints. And I just wanted to bring that up, but I also wanted to bring it up in the context of WPFW, I think, still needs to work on recognizing that divergent views really need to be expressed in the programming. That we are hearing some of it on target, but a lot of times, particularly I'm concerned this week about the little news blurbs at the top of the hour we had on Monday at 3 p.m. Okay, at 3 p.m., somebody referred to the killing of this executive of the healthcare industry, who is a monster, if you know his personal record, as being a cold-blooded killing. It was a political assassination. We can disagree with that as a way forward, but it was not really an immoral act at all. And it's not appropriate to editorialize on those newscasts as though, because they're coming out not from an individual programmer, but as representing the station's viewpoint. And then at 4 p.m., the forecast, I think Sue Goodman gave it, it quoted the former Al-Qaeda leader that's now in charge of Syria as planning to restore democracy there and kind of completely omitting the tremendous controversy over the ramifications for the Palestinians and other oppressed peoples of what's happening there now. Star. This is really inappropriate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to go again if there's time.
Yes. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Use the button. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. You know, thanks everybody for their service. You know, chair, vice chair, secretary, so-and-so. Real quick, and this is old news and, but the outreach committee never received a final, invoice or draft of the funds and resources that we sent in for the 5K. We sent our copy, but we never received anything from the station to verify what was what. I see. I believe Sataria has vacated or left the premises. So I don't know if she would be able. I thought she would be around to answer that, but the outreach never received any kind of information about, you know, did she receive it? I know there was some issues with that. Trying to finalize that or get that straight. So I just wanted to bring that up, that, you know, we were sort of left hanging as far as
a final accounting on the 5K, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know they made sure that the other events that some people had within the station that clarification was made. We never got that credit for what we, put together as the outreach committee. So, congratulations on the new chair or whoever it may be. This is our last board meeting for the year. So I want to wish everybody a happy, holiday, whatever they may celebrate. I look forward to participating next year, God willing, in the growing of WPFW. Thank you.
Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes. This is community comment time.
Yes, and that's why I'm making a point.
Point of order. Is there a rule being broken, Ron?
Not a rule.
Then it's not a point of order.
But we got something in the chat that I think is important from one of the new delegates. And that's that they don't know the candidates who are running for.
Okay, that's not part of community comment. We'll get to that afterwards. Thank you.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear.
Man, they could have waited, man.
And it will.
Well, people are voting now. That's it.
All right. Anyone else? Andrew, you wanted to speak.
Well, this is my last meeting also, and I'd like to echo Adele's eloquent comments of thanks for the opportunity to serve, and congratulations to the new leaders, and wish everyone well for both the holidays and the new year, and I'll be trying to support as best I can from the listener and donor perspective. So thank you all.
Thank you. Anyone else with a community comment?
Well, can I go again?
Let me ask the question, Star. Is there anyone else with a community comment? Okay, now you can go again.
Thank you. I just wanted to finish my statement. Well, what just happened is relevant. With regard to the comment by, I think it was Kamal who gave the relocation report, that the only reservation on that committee about choice of location had to do with a lack of interest in Virginia. Two of us at least spoke pretty strongly at the town hall meeting on Saturday, and I know I got quite a bit of positive feedback afterwards about the necessity to really take into consideration the new locale with regard to it's being accessible to people of who are racially oppressed and economically oppressed, as well as other being near metro for access to the suburban areas. And I have to say, I wonder if this is heard. This was brought up 6 months ago. And it's disturbing that both Vanessa and Rob have alluded and let us know on community comment that you all are voting while we're speaking. I know that there's a prevailing view that the fundraising has gone down because of the stance in support of Palestinian rights that the station has undergone. But I think a lot of it has to do with there is a real disconnect with the strong support from working class and poor communities in Washington because of the oblivion about class issues. It's just crazy to say in advance, we're going to be voting while, community comments on when it's a complicated procedure. That's just emblematic of the problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Going once, going twice. Okay, this will conclude community comment. Let's get some clarity on the election process, and then I've still got a stack from relocation. So first thing is, I did not receive, an email. Is there anyone else who still needs one?
I didn't receive an email either.
Nor did I.
Okay. So Dennis.
Yeah.
Who else?
Michael Byfield.
Michael, Kamau,
Dr. Mao.
You're all on the list that I looked, and you should have.
I got a bunch. This is Michelle. I got a bunch of emails, but I don't see anywhere in there where I was either directed to vote or shown where to vote.
Did you get?
Okay. Look for OPA.
But I also don't see, I also don't know either of the candidates. So I don't know. I mean, you can just put it down for anybody because as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference if we don't know anything about them. And I don't know either of them. So it's not a slap to either of you. I just don't know you.
Okay. Let's finish up the comments from Relocation, and then we will take a minute and address the election thing, and we'll have a statement from the two candidates. Let me see. Is Ambrose still interested?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Okay, you're up.
Okay, so Kamau, and this actually can be a question for any of the members of the committee, but I especially wanted to ask you, Kamau. First, is there general satisfaction with the broker? And I have a series of questions, Mr.
Sorry,
Chair. I won't be long. I'm sorry, come on. What was that?
I'm sorry. I was muted. Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay. General satisfaction with them. Okay. Second question. How long is the temporary accommodations for?
The current lease, over at Eckington is a year, 12 months.
Okay. So we have another year to find a more permanent location. Is that my understanding?
That's the maximum. We have a 60-day out for that particular contract.
Okay. And there was a question about and the reason that I asked about the broker is, I don't know, and so I'm not claiming to know. You all would know because you all are interacting with the broker. Is the broker suggesting or properties that are more, as Eric mentioned, in Northwest and Upper Northwest, or are they scouring the whole city? Because, there are locations and come out. I've already submitted, one possible location. There's another one that I will submit to you offline. That's also east of the river, but, and close to a metro. I just wanted to get a sense of if the broker was kind of directing you all to properties in a certain, more properties in a certain part of the city. There's no lack of properties available, east of the river.
Yeah, no, the broker has followed our instructions and pulled the properties according to the specs that we've given them. I think there's probably been two or three east of the river properties. Each time they've come up, there was an issue about access to Metro. A couple of them weren't necessarily close enough.
Right.
In terms of the public transportation piece. And again, and not just to kind of circle back on my Virginia comment, I don't want to be flippant about it. Virginia is a wonderful state, but there is an issue with the staff. Nobody on the staff currently drives. And so to put ourselves kind of at a point where it's difficult to get the staff to commute into the office is also an issue of it's not very functional for everybody. So it's no slight on Virginia at all. So I didn't want to be flippant about that. So I apologize if it came off that way. And then also in terms of east of the river, I can't think of the actual addresses of the properties. There's been so many different ones, but the ones that did show up east of the river were ones that didn't have necessarily access. And I think there was, just an issue of late night folk being able to get in and do their programming, having to walk several blocks. And having the safety issue come up. So So that's what we're dealing with. It's not just cut and dry. You know, here's an office space and, you know, we can go ahead and pitch our tent. It's, you know, confluence of things.
And I had one other, but I forgot what it was. So, I apologize and thank you, Kamal. I appreciate the work that you and the committee has done.
Thank you. Thank you. As we proceed with this, let me, remind everyone, and I will again, that starting next month, we need to reset all our committees. There is a limit on the number of people who can participate in the relocation committee, but people who are interested and or concerned are certainly free to seek membership on that committee. We still have to decide how we will do that. But yes, the committee will reset. So there will be opportunities for engagement. Wayne Bruce.
Thank you, Chair. As a member of the committee, I just want to say, just want to reassure people that this grid we came up with on everything from transportation to safety in the neighborhoods, it was not to make any section of our area more advantageous than the other to move, but to see what would be the best area to be in from the staff, and that our chief engineer, Mo Thomas, was on that committee and making recommendations as far as size. I've heard some comments about footprint, and we drilled down, did a lot of work, and Chairman Harris, who chaired that committee, did an incredible job. I must say though, that once we got rid of the first broker that we had, who seemed to be dragging their feet, and moved on to the broker we have now, we combed through every, list they came up with, and even, you know, we want to shout out, I think, Addie, incorporated the listeners and combed through all those lists. I know it seems like a glut of properties, and maybe there is a glut for, certain people, that have certain, it's a glut of properties, but you have to still have certain, things that, unfortunately, right now, PFW, we weren't in the position to have. So I don't think, although Chairman Harris did a great job, I don't think he explained that properly, that, you know, work is put in. And, recently we had a list come in the past, few weeks, and we got that combed through. So, it's a lot of work that was put in by the committee. And, I just want to once again assure people that, you know, we listened to everything on that committee, and that committee met, and, unfortunately, an area that I love dearly, that's close to my heart, was ruled out and laughed at. And I had problems with that, because I'm from Northwest and I'm from Petworth. So I was kind of bummed, but I understood, because it didn't meet all the requirements of committee. I still in my feelings about that, but I want to assure everybody that the committee that constituted then looked at a lot of things, and it wasn't biased at all.
We can have a party in Petworth, Wayne. We can have a party in Petworth.
Hey, man, Petworth is totally on. You better speak up, man. I'm just saying.
Okay. Thank you. Verna.
Yes, indeed. I just want to congratulate and applaud the leadership on the relocation committee. You know, Kamal did an exceptional job, an exemplary job. There was a lot of heavy lifting on that committee. they were able, he along with Yuki and Joe and Mo were able to find a good bridge location for us to go to until we're able to secure a permanent home. The search isn't over, but we did an awesome job. I'm a member of the committee. We looked at over 100 properties, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, Tacoma Park, Silver Spring. We looked, and there's no bias. You know, the only bias is, does it fit the criteria that we have and that we need for that station? It's you know, easy to say, oh, there's a lot of, you know, property out there. But, you know, when you start to nail it down, go through and, you know, be really persnickety about what does it have, this does it have, that does it have, how far is the bathroom going to be from the, you know, control room? So the programmers will and the engineers will be able to do that comfortably. I was one that was really pushing for a good community, a space where we can have the community come in. There's a lot of talk about shrinking the station, that people are podcasting there. Everybody's, you know, broadcasting from home. Well, I don't feel like the quality of the broadcasts from the homes is as good as the quality that we will get from a station. So if we're going to get another station, I want it to be one that we will be able to go into the station all hours of the night and day and be comfortable. It's metro accessible. And it will have a place so that when we want to invite the community in, we could have the community in. This is community radio. This is not, you know, podcast radio. Also, another thing that people have to keep in mind, our finances were a big part of the issue. So, you know, we had to do a lot of work on that too, in order to qualify for some of these, locations. And you know, people are invited to attend these relocation committee meetings and offer suggestions. If there are lists that are left over, submit them. Submit them. We go through all the lists that we're given, even the suggestions from the listeners, which we love to have those. One person suggested a location and we didn't hear anything else from them about it. Although we tried, you know, seriously to try and contact that individual. So submit your suggestions for consideration, come to the meetings and participate. And again, I just want to applaud the leadership. I think we've done a good job so far, and I'm looking forward to us actually nailing down a location. And we have not ruled out the possibility of buying a location. So I want to put that on the table as well.
Thank you. Ron.
Mr. Chair, my hand was up. Do you see my hand?
I do see your hand. Okay.
You can go ahead. Me. No problem.
Thank you. One of my questions was answered with a 1-year lease, but Kamau, you followed it up by saying 60 day out. What does that mean? I don't understand what that is.
Yeah, if we secure a location prior to the 12-month expiration, we can give notice. We'd only be obligated to pay essentially 2 more months of rent. And it works in reverse as well. If they don't feel like we're actually, you know, if there's cause for them to terminate, we'd have 60 days to essentially vacate. So that's really what that means.
All right. Thank you.
So we're not necessarily stuck paying 12 months rent there, regardless of what happens.
Correct.
Right. Okay, Ron.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what Verna said. We have been looked at some very promising properties, but could not qualify financially for a variety of reasons. So keep that in mind also as we navigate this territory. We also have to navigate the finances of it. And, you know, some may be more willing to except our financial conditions, some aren't. And right now I know at least 3 properties that we've lost because of that. So just keep that in mind. That's also a very important factor as we move forward on the search. Thanks.
Just to kind of back that up, if I could, Mr. Chair. So, and it's not an independent arbitrator of credit worthiness. You know, each of these landlords have their own agents, their own way to determine, you know, what a viable renter, you know, is and what they are willing to accept. So clearly our letter of intent indicate that some, at this point anyway, were willing to accept us. But then it also means that they were subject to a review. So they have their standards. And, you know, one landlord does not mean, one landlord accepting us or declining us does not mean all. So, it's, that's also another factor in all of this. So I just, to echo some of the, committee members, I would implore everybody, you know, to come and participate in the meetings because you'll get a chance to really drill down on the real estate industry. I know the headlines say, hey, all for sale, you know, neon lights and all that. But, it really is a game that, and I use that in, you know, intentionally, where, hey, you know, can we squeeze a little bit more out of the renter and the, you know, the prospective renter saying, hey, can I squeeze a little bit more out of the landlord, you know? So, it takes some time and, we're not trying to put ourselves in a position, you know, where we're actually stressed out again over our office rent. We want to be comfortable. We want to begin to build back that community. I think that, Verna's talking about.
Okay. Thank you. Let's wrap up relocation. Coming back to the election issue, let me ask, I think we have alphabetically, is it, Robert Gordon and Mike Hirsch? Each of you take a couple of minutes to say something about yourself for people who need, give us your campaign commercial.
So you want me to go first, Dennis?
Alphabetical.
Okay. I don't really have a commercial, but I'll speak a little bit about, you know, my relationship with PFW and how it's been over the past year or so and try not to go on too long. Because I know there are people here that have gotten to know me and have worked with me over the course of the past year. So I'd like to think that, you know, that carries a little bit of weight. I didn't choose to run. I was asked to run. So people asked me to run. So I said, okay, I will do that to further, you know, invest in the station. Just real quick, I grew up in New York. So WBAI was my station and I had a special relationship with it. One key event, I listened to the station when I was a youngster, but my band in high school actually played there. So that's always been, you know, kind of a sweet connection to have to the Pacifica network and a sweet memory and always, you know, kept me on the outlook, on the lookout, I should say, for Pacifica affiliated stations and was pleased when I came down here a long time ago, back in 1979, to go to law school to find out that there was a Pacifica station down here. And I've been a listener and a donor, for, you know, a long period of time. So I was asked to join the board, summer before last to run for that office. And I thought it might be a good idea. So I did. And having gotten to the position, I decided to take it seriously and to invest in two committees that I thought, you know, my talents and expertise could be of the most assistance, especially in light of what I was told about the situation at PFW at the time. And I'll just say I practiced law for over 20 years, 24 years, and then I was a bankruptcy judge sitting in Baltimore in Maryland for 14 years. And now I'm teaching at University of Maryland Carey Law School. And so the relocation committee and the mass committee were the committees that I wanted to be on, and I've been happy to be a part of both of them. There have been challenges in both situations, but overall, I feel like folks are trying to work in the best interests of WPFW. And that has certainly been my goal. And I think I've been able to, you know, use my talents to help those committees move the ball along and give some expertise that wouldn't otherwise be available. And then beyond that, too, I know there have been several times that Miyuki has reached out to me to talk about different issues. And, you know, I've been pleased to help her also. I'll just say this. I don't have any ancient vendettas or old, you know, grievances against anybody. I've been here for a year, and my single goal is to help to preserve the precious jewel that WPFW is as a part of the Pacifica network. That's all I care about, and that's the only reason that I'm doing what I'm doing. And over the year, I've come to understand that WPFW's independence is fragile, and we are going through critical times with respect to the station. And I think that, you know, you need to have that type of investment and that kind of clear-minded singular purpose in wanting what's best for this station and everything that it brings to the community as an independent voice that gives the kind of information that you're just not going to get anywhere else the way that WPFW does it, along with, you know, the element of America's great contribution to the art world, you know, what we call jazz. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if Dennis allows it, but I think.
I don't think we probably need questions, let's go to Mike.
Well, first of all, I'm so impressed with what you said, Robert. I think that you summarized my feelings very, very well, and I deeply respect your contributions and your leadership with WPFW. And I'd love to hear you rock out at some point because I love music. All I can say is, I share all of your concerns and I'm so impressed by what you've said. The only thing that I would add to that is that, we have had some meetings where things have been, divisive and people have felt that they were not listened to. I think that tonight's meeting was absolutely exemplary. And then if I happen to get elected, as vice chair, or even if I don't, I would like to keep working to keep all the meetings this streamlined and effective. So, and I also want to make sure that people feel that they're being heard, because a recurring theme that I've encountered is people feeling frustrated. And in my experience, there's no animosity that would survive simple communication. And that said, lack of communication can give the illusion of animosity or exacerbate feelings that people resent each other. And I just want to underscore what you said about WPFW's independence being fragile. Our future with the incoming Trump administration and ongoing problems that we've been targeted by certain entities. I won't go into much depth about that, as well as different systemic problems that we've had over the years makes our entire existence fragile. And I would like to do all I can to work with everybody, all the stakeholders, the staff, the leadership, this board, the listeners and donors and programmers, to make sure we all get on the same page and stay on the same page, and to focus on mitigating any problems or disagreements before they start to snowball into lasting problems. So I'm honored to even be considered. I was honored to be drafted and nominated for this position. If I get it, great. If I don't, no hard feelings. Look forward to working with a great group of people that we've had working with us for the betterment of WPFW.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for stepping up after only a few months of service. That's the kind of involvement that the board needs. So appreciate that. Eric, is this an election question?
It is, Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
Has the election for board chair been resolved in your view?
In my view, it has been. There was one timely nomination.
Okay. I have a point of order, if I may.
It may be more of an objection, but go ahead.
Okay. The election conducted underway this evening is apparently in violation of Pacific bylaws.
Okay. How so?
First of all, ground rules, or I shouldn't say ground rules, eligibility to be a candidate,
yes,
was determined apparently, as far as I can see, by the local station board secretary.
No, that's not true. The deadline was set by the secretary. Eligibility to be a candidate, anyone on the 2025 board is eligible to be a candidate, and anyone who's not on the board is eligible to be a candidate for secretary or treasurer.
Okay. Listening to what you just said, the secretary played a key role. The deadline for nominations was set, depending on who you speak to, either by yourself or by the secretary. They set a deadline of this past Monday.
Correct.
Okay. That is not within the authority of a local station board chair.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
The guidelines of Pacifica bylaws determine eligibility.
You're talking about two different things, Mr. Ramey. Eligibility is different from deadlines. I contend that the local station board has the right to set the logistical terms for the election. Nothing you said has anything to do with eligibility. I told you anyone on the 2025 board was eligible to be nominated within the deadline that was out there for 2016.
This is the first time I'm hearing it. I have an email from you from several mm-hmm. days ago saying that basically implied that anyone who was not an incumbent member of the board had no standing to weigh in on the process.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that doesn't have anything to do with eligibility to be a candidate.
It certainly does, because she's saying that you had to be nominated by Monday evening.
Right. Anyone can nominate you. You were nominated yesterday, a day late. That would have 24 hours earlier, that would have been fine.
That was not made clear in the communique that you sent to me.
All right.
I'm still holding the floor, Mr. Chair, making my point on my point.
No. You're making an objection. I want you to put the objection in a clear form so that it can be seconded and debated. What is your proposal? What are you suggesting?
I asked for an exception here that the nominating period could be extended through this evening. That was the first thing I did. I did that a couple of days ago. You said that would have to be done in the form of an appeal tonight.
Right.
In as much as the ballots have already gone out and the voting is underway, that's no longer a valid option.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, I asked, I'm losing it. That's there. I asked if I could raise an appeal. You said yes. Okay. And as much as the ballots have gone out and there's no secondary candidate on there, it's a done deal at this point. So the notion that I would be allowed to make an appeal is not a valid option.
I'm saying, you know, if you want to make an objection to the election process, now would be the time to make an objection, see if it is seconded, and we will vote on it. What is your objection?
Okay, I was given the option for you to to become a candidate this evening by asking that the nominating period be postponed, the deadline be postponed by 48 hours. You ruled against me early on that unilaterally.
Okay. So the essence, let me get this clear. So to boil it all down, is the objection would be to extend the deadline and allow you to stand as a candidate for chair this evening, correct?
Correct.
Okay. A second then.
Thank you. Is there a second? We've got a second. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on either side of this? And the hands will have to, if the hands aren't about this in particular, they'll have to wait. If they are, I'll get to you. Anyone would care to speak to this particular objection before we vote or appeal?
Excuse me.
We've got emails for the deadlines. All right. Let me go through the hands that are up and see if this is part of this discussion. Verna is first.
No, mine is not about this objection.
Okay. We'll come to you again. Vanessa.
Mine is not about this either.
Okay. Let me see. Ron.
Yes, this is about this objection.
Okay, speak.
Mr. Ramey, just like all the other candidates, were given the parameters of the candidacy. And now we're talking about going back and changing the rules to accommodate a candidate. I think it's inappropriate. I think it's unfair. And unnecessary. The candidate was given plenty of time to nominate themselves or have someone nominate them because they didn't meet the deadline. Now they want to, you know, change the rules. So I think you ruled appropriately, that, you know, if he had gotten his request in earlier, you know, by the deadline, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And I would totally object to changing the rules to effectively what? You know, what's next? Okay, what's the next objection? So that's my position on this.
All right, thank you. Michael.
Mine might not necessarily be pertinent to this.
We have to speak to this because there's a lot going on here. This is the issue. We have to speak to this issue. If you're not speaking to this, then you need to wait for another time.
In light of the confusion that has taken place with new members coming on board and not necessarily even having an opportunity to know who the candidates are, I myself have not received the ballot. I don't know who's running. I'm seconding what Mr. Ramey is requesting.
Yes.
And asking for an extension.
By extension, what do you mean?
Well, for whatever we decide on in terms of moving the time back so that
let me be clear. The extension relates to the deadline, the nomination deadline to be able to include him. We must conduct this election tonight.
Okay.
I just want to be clear about that. Okay. Ambrose.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me ask a point of information. And that is, when did you send out the, email that stated the rules and stated when a nomination is needed to be put forward?
Ellen, can you answer that?
Okay, I'll go back. I know it had to have been
November, December, up until the time that I got the nominations.
So, Ellen, just to be clear, you sent it out more than once?
Yes.
And when was the first time, if you can recall?
I have to go back and look in my emails. I'm sorry,
It was in November.
Was it prior to Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That has helped me make my decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Craig.
I would just say that, yeah, I agree. I've seen a lot of emails coming in about nominations, and I, as a new member, I didn't know really how to act upon it, but I definitely confirmed that I've seen these nominations in emails.
Okay. Thank you. Wanda?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that I think the issue of nominating for officers has been brought up on numerous occasions. It was brought up during the last meeting, and I think the meeting before that. And there's been a plethora of emails sent out reminding people about the elections and stating the rules and stating who has been nominated. And I know that personally, I often miss things because I don't stay in my emails, but it would have been really difficult to ignore all of the emails that have gone out. And so I think that that the request to extend the nominations is totally unnecessary because such a last minute thing that is really unwarranted in my view. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do Wayne, Minerva, and Art, and then we will move to vote.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to. I guess I'm going to echo Wanda in saying I have an email in front of me from 9 days ago stating who was nominated. And at least 9 days ago, it says 9 days ago, who was nominated for which position and how long you had to get nominated. Now, as somebody who wasn't a seated board member, you probably, I believe from reading this, you have to get somebody to nominate you. So, that's an easy process. And I think I looked at an email that went back and forth that actually, member Curtis, nominated, member Rainey, but he was late. And so, just last thing, the rules of this have been published and stated, and that's what I have to say. I think we need to move forward.
Okay. Thank you. Minerva?
Yes. I keep hearing all of the information about when the notification went out. In that notification, it does not mention anywhere at all that if you're a new member coming onto the board, and you want to be considered for a position, that you will have to be a member of the board before you can do so. That would mean that Mr. Ramey did not come on this board until this evening. Okay? So somewhere in all of, I'm still sticking to what we're talking about here.
Mr. Ramey,
on his own, put his name in, and he was told he could not be considered because he was not a member of the board. Even in that conversation, there was nothing that said to him, but on the night of the meeting, and he would have been entitled to put his name in or have someone put his name in the night of the meeting. I did hear you say someone nominated him, but they were a day late. So in essence, the person who nominated him did not look at the date or misunderstood the date on when they could nominate him. But you told him that he could appeal. So before we, okay, wait a minute. Before the meeting started good, once those individuals were put on the board, at that time, you should have shared with everyone, we have someone who wants to appeal because of whatever was going on. I was driving and I was told the meeting had started. So I'm trying to get on to come to the meeting. And then the first thing I saw before I could even get in was, here's your voting. So maybe if we had delayed even a few minutes before those voting documents went out and allowed people to speak and allowed him to do what he just is doing now, then we wouldn't be in this discussion where we are now. So, you know, and I would say, Eric, I'm sorry about what happened, but, you know, again, all of this can't be Mr. Rainey's fault because we've been on this board. And when I came on the board, they didn't even allow us to vote or be installed until later in the meeting, which was not correct. We should have been installed at the beginning of the meeting. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on here. And even if Mr. Rainey doesn't get elected and he's not allowed to take part, we just need to make sure when we're dealing with each other that we do it in a fair manner. And so I can see where he's coming from appealing, but you know, we just have to be fair about how we're doing things. And let's keep it open so everyone can see it. But that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Art.
Yeah, I can't really add too much more beyond what most folks have already said. This process is kind of done. Deadlines have been passed. Nominations are over. So we just got to move on with the current slate. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Eric, 1 minute, last word, then we vote.
I want to thank, the board members who've spoken on my behalf. Both Michael and Minerva. The bottom line is Monday evening when this deadline happened, I was not a board member. Now, until you came up with this scenario a few moments ago, I was not eligible to be a candidate. And clarification did.
That's not true.
Okay. I sent you a list of proposals for motions, and you made it clear that it was out of order because I was not an incumbent member of the board. It's clear you want it both ways. You're saying now I could have been nominated to become a board member, but I wasn't seated as a member of this board. That is catch 21, catch 22, and catch 23. You know, and secondly, the determination of eligibility or the deadline is being determined by the board secretary, who lacks authority to make those decisions. Previously, when we've had these elections, the nominations have always been finalized just prior to the tabulating, or it's been done several times in recent years. This scenario about you have to meet the deadline, which in this case was 48 or 72 hours ago, and I made you aware that I had concerns about this, and you said I would have the option to make it an appeal tonight. Now you've reversed yourself because the ballots have gone out and the balloting is underway.
10 seconds.
There does not appear to be an absence of malice here. You know, there does not.
Mr. Chair, question.
Thank you. We're moving to vote. What is this a question about the vote?
No, just call the question. Take the vote.
For future reference, everybody, this is it's a parliamentary thing. The magic words call the question. Please don't use those because that requires a separate vote, a 2/3 vote. And being on Zoom, every time you vote, we have to stop and do a roll call. So maybe suggest it, but don't use the words call the question because that triggers a particular parliamentary process.
Thank you.
May I raise a point of clarification, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Okay. This is something that I need to be clear on.
Yes.
You said that the nomination of Mr. Rainey was late, past the deadline, and therefore he could not be nominated. It wasn't because he was not eligible to be nominated. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Ellen, will you please call the roll? A yes vote is to include Mr. Rainey as a candidate for chair, and a no vote is to proceed as we were.
Okay. Irene?
She's not here.
Okay. Verna?
I vote no.
Wayne?
No.
Michael? See here, Michael? I'll come back to him.
Yes.
He said yes. Curtis? Bill Curtis? Is he here?
Bill, are you there?
I'll come back. Violetta, she's here. Well, her picture's there, but she's muted. Violetta, you're muted. Vanessa?
No.
Sue Goodwin?
I'm sorry, please repeat.
Yes is to include Eric Ramey as a candidate for chair, appealing the previous ruling. No is to proceed as we were with one candidate.
I vote no.
Robert Gordon?
No.
Craig Green?
No.
Kamau?
Abstain.
Michael Hirsch?
Abstain.
Julie?
Can I pass, please?
All right. Arthur?
No.
David? But I see on you have Amari on the internet.
Yeah, I gotta fix that.
Okay.
I abstain.
All right. Ambrose?
Abstain.
Tony Leon? I'll come back. Mariah is not here. Ron?
No.
Eric?
Yes.
Minerva?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Wanda?
No.
Okay, and then I'll come back to you, Dennis. But then Irene is not here. Bill Curtis, did he come in or is he?
Bill Curtis, are you there?
Okay. Violetta?
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Okay, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you repeat what we're voting on?
Please. Yes is to include Eric Ramey as a candidate for chair.
Oh, yes, sure. Yes.
Okay.
Violetta?
Violetta?
Is she on there? I don't see her.
Violetta? Okay.
And I'll see.
And Julie passed, right? Julie?
You, Julie passed, yeah. Julie?
Yeah, I'll abstain. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So the no, well, I'll go to yeses first. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses. And the no's are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 no's. And the abstentions are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 abstentions. And Dennis, what did you say?
I will abstain.
Okay, so 6 abstentions. So the noes, 9 noes of the vote.
Okay. The measure is defeated. Thank you all. Now I think, Verna and Vanessa, you had some points and we're still dealing with election stuff, not that particular, appeal. Is this also election related, Verna? Verna gave up and went away. Vanessa.
Okay. Yeah, it's election related. I just wanted to say that when I first tried to vote, I said that I was unable to drag and drop the name, but I later found out all I have to do is click on the add button and it will automatically move the name to the place where you want it to be.
Okay. That's helpful to know. All right. Has everyone had a chance to cast a ballot? Are you receiving the results in real time, Ellen?
I won't receive results until everyone has voted. Then I click on the stop the voting.
Okay.
So has everyone voted?
No.
Leave it open for a little while open more. Okay, come out.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do not have an OPA vote. The only one I have is from last year in my inbox.
Same here.
From last year.
I have last year's, but not the current year.
You have last year. The OPA vote was last year was.
Yeah, the point is he doesn't
that
have.
That wasn't officers. That was PNB.
Right. Well, the point is he doesn't have one from today.
Okay. You need to look because it's saying that all of you and your emails are on there and it's saying all of you received the email. So if you still don't have it and you said it was, who was it that said they didn't? Dennis, you said you don't have it. Michael Byfield and Camus, you said you don't have it at all. You're not seeing it.
Correct.
And you looked in your bulk and the large and OPA. Is there anybody else that doesn't see it and hasn't voted?
I know Kamau has 2 email addresses. Did you check them both, Kamau?
Yeah, if you have more than one email, could you check both emails? Because it's probably the email that you gave me that you usually get from me transferring things to you.
Okay.
Now, if you 3 don't have it, the only other way I can do it is to go back and do another separate ballot for you. Or you could email if y'all trust me, you can email it to me and I can just
add
it.
Well, I'm good with officially abstaining, so don't worry about me.
Okay, so you abstain?
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's saying that you have it. It's saying that you and Kamau and Michael Byfield have it. Okay, has everyone voted? So then I can hit the voted.
Can we just rescind that, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, my hand's been up for a while, please.
Okay. I don't know how difficult it would be to rescind it. Ellen would have to answer that.
What, to rescind it to, I can't just rescind it to him. I have to either redo the whole thing or I'd have to do a whole new ballot.
If there are three, okay, well, let me just say if there are three people.
It's just the three of you that don't have it.
And it's really two because I'm taking myself out of it. All right, let me hear what Minerva has to say first. Minerva?
Okay, and that was what I was going to ask. And the procedure was to raise your hand to be recognized. But yes. Is there not a way to rescind the ballot again to everyone, or what's the backup plan for taking care of this? And I have to say, when I got the ballot, I didn't see the chair and vice chair. I only saw the vice chair.
There was only vice chair on there.
Okay.
There was only vice chair.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Mr. Chair. There was someone else speaking.
It was only vice chair.
Okay. All right.
That's why we had the appeal vote.
Discussion. Okay.
Do you want me to have to do it all over again, or what do you three want to do?
What do you,
Because it's saying you three did receive it, so I don't know.
If there's a simple method that you want to use for, I don't know, for myself and Kamau, since it's such, it's only,
will you and Kamau authorize the secretary to record your votes through email?
Yeah, I don't want to be here until 11 o'clock.
Are you okay with that, Kamau?
Yeah, that's why my hand is up. Absolutely. I already sent my email to, Ellen.
Okay. Okay, right. So then that takes care of the other three of us, so that right. Then you can then.
So close. I can stop the voting, because that's what I have to do to open.
Yes,
I have to let them know it stopped.
And in everyone the meantime, who voted. Doing? Yes. Send your email, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
But
now,
let me just make sure. Everyone else, there was only three people who did not vote through OPA. Everybody else has voted through OPA. Okay.
Okay. I want to, before we announce that, I'm going to move to the next thing, which was the PNB. There were actually two PNB items that I wanted to bring up, but Kamau actually brought up one in the context of the Finance Committee. So the other is the motion that is pending before the PNB, which the text of which is included in the agenda about changing the processes for recruiting and vetting candidates for general manager and program director. Minerva, would you like to summarize, to speak to this motion that the PNB will be voting on? And then I'd like to have some conversation about it.
Okay. And I don't have the motion in front of me. So okay,
you want me to read it?
Yes, if you would, please. Thank you.
Yeah, because I do print it out on the agenda. Okay, everybody who has the agenda, you can refer to that. This is a motion from the Personnel Committee of the PNB. The Personnel Committee moves that Pacifica National Board specify the appropriate procedure for local station boards to conduct their role in developing pools of candidates for the general manager position and the program director. Whereas Article 7, Local Station Board, Section 3, specific powers and duties of provides each LSB acting as a standing committee of the foundation's board of directors shall have the following partner powers, duties and responsibilities related to its specific radio station under the direction and supervision of the foundation's board of directors.
Chair, and, Verna is locked out. I'm so sorry to interrupt. Please forgive me. She's locked out.
Okay. Also, to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of general manager of the respective radio station, from which pool of approved candidates the executive director shall hire the station's general manager. This is what's in the bylaws now. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose, which is what we did with the Mass Committee. Also, to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of station program director, from which pool of approved candidates the station's general manager shall have the hire the station's program director. The LSB may appoint a special subcommittee for this purpose. We have used Mass for that role in the past as well. Therefore, this is the proposal. Therefore, the Pacifica National Board specifies the following procedure for local station boards to develop pools of candidates for the position of general manager and for the position of program director. The job description for the position of GM and position of PD will be those determined by the executive director. Job postings for the position of GM and the position of PD will be made by the ED on the Pacifica.org website and websites for the five stations and all affiliates and other publications as deemed appropriate by the executive director with advice of the MSB. Hold on. The resumes and expressions of interest for the position of GM and the position of PD will be returned to an email address designated by the ED. The ED will provide the responses to the secretary of the LSB at the station for which a search is being conducted, with the names and personal information obscured to assure confidentiality and gender, age, and other demographic neutral consideration. The LSB or a committee created by the LSB to perform the search function will review the submissions and recommend a pool of candidates for the position under consideration, but will not contact or interview candidates. It is recommended that five or more candidates be included for consideration by the ED, who makes the final decision of whom to hire for the GM, and five or more candidates for consideration by the GM, who makes the final decision on whom to hire for PD. That is the text. You want to give us some quick summary and context, Minerva?
Okay. Yes, I do. And thank you, Dennis, for reading that. The reason the personnel committee put that together is right now, for everyone's knowledge, all stations of the five stations that make up the Pacifica Network have interim general managers. Now, the start out was that WPFW had put together a Mass committee, and the ED dealt with all of the other stations and began to place job descriptions, so on and so forth. So we had two groups. Well, the ED, and then you had the Mass committee trying to get things organized. And it became apparent that this would not be feasible, or wasn't working, because as the Mass committee began to gather names, and we did, we had four individuals who applied, and we were going through the process that was just shared by the current chair, and it turns out that there was a mishap. Now, inviting the ED to come and help sort through what was going on, it became very apparent that maybe rather than each station trying to do their own thing, and we do have another station that is having a mass committee meeting for 30 minutes, and then they're inviting the community to have input and to keep everything in line, that's where this process came about. Now, the key that was brought to our attention in this meeting is basically this person is someone the executive director is going to have to work with. And she would have the final say, and they're allowing the local station boards to have input, either all of the board members or a special committee if it's put in place. But again, there would be no names. There's no knowing whoever put their name in for the position. There's not going to be any calls made to the individuals. We don't, based on this, don't get to decide among ourselves or make statements that you feel this person's not qualified or none of the candidates are qualified. All of that goes to the executive director for her to make that decision. But she is asking for input from the LSB. So if we get five documents and you look at it and you say, document number one, this person doesn't seem to have all of the qualifications, and they wouldn't in a resume, that you can still make a note. You can rank them the way you would like. Number five seems to be the best. Number two looks good. Not sure about three and four, so on and so forth. But that it would be our role, because no matter which of what goes into play, the station itself will not make the final decision. It's going to be the executive director. So that was the part. Now, in putting this together, the next piece that I'm going to be bringing forward, and we don't have a lot of time, is that, number one, when the executive director gets this information and makes the phone calls, that she's got some kind of checklist where she's letting the stations know why she felt XYZ person was the best. And again, we still have no name. She's working with that. So that's why it was done in the manner it was done.
Okay. Thank you for that summation. Let me see. I think Ron was first on the stack. Ron?
Okay. As a member of the PNB, this proposal was brought to us at the last PNB meeting. The PNB, the entire PNB, did not have an opportunity to offer input on this. This small group of individuals who put this together, and I do believe, Minerva was a part of that, and you put this together and tried to force a vote on this that the previous PNB meeting. Now, this is effectively what this does, what this proposal does. It takes the power away from the LSBs, which it has enjoyed since the LSBs were created. We've always been able to come up with general manager candidates and PD candidates. But now there's this effort to take the LSBs out of that process. And once again, without LSB input. So what I'm proposing is this. It is very important that the old members and new members of this board understand what's at stake regarding this proposal. It would take the LSB, it would take a major portion of LSB power out of the hands of the LSB. It would all be ceremonial, and that's not what we enjoyed, all the way up to this point. So I would suggest, I'm hoping that this motion could be tabled until the next meeting, so that the new members and the old members of this LSB can research this, find out what impact it is going to have on this election process for our GM and PD, and get some real feedback. You know,
let me ask you this, Ron. What is the purpose of us postponing the vote, of a discussion or a vote or something on this, when this is something that will be voted on by the PNB on its own timetable?
Because the PNB, I put this motion before the PNB at the last meeting because, you because of my objections.
Okay. And, so you asked the PNB to postpone.
And it was discussed at that PNB meeting that any vote on this may have to wait until January when the new boards are seated.
Okay, I understand.
So my argument is that we shouldn't be taking away the powers of the new board without, you know, their input, without them knowing what the facts are. And, you know, we can't have that kind of discussion in 5 minutes. You know, we need to have a throwdown on that. Okay. So that's my proposal, that this motion be tabled until the next meeting to give the new members and the old members a chance to read this and research it. Ask questions, because there are legal questions here too, in terms of whether this violates, you know, standing Pacifica bylaws. That was not discussed at the PNB meeting. Okay, so that's my
motion.
Okay. As it gets late, let me just invoke the 90-second. First speech rule, or at least try and stay as close to that as possible. Vanessa, you're up next.
Okay. So I want to add to what Ron said. I agree with everything he said. I would like everyone to further consider that as all boards are bound by their bylaws, that is our quote unquote Bible. That's how we proceed. That's how we govern ourselves. It's according to the bylaws. The current bylaws seek to be inclusive. The process for selecting a GM and a PD, a program director, is collaborative. There's an important role that is played by the local station boards by having the opportunity for either a small group or the entire board can actively participate in the process to set up the process by which the candidates will be reviewed, looking at the resumes, not redacted resumes, looking at resumes, interviewing the candidates, which is an important part because just looking at a resume is insufficient. So what this, and then at the end of the day, X number of candidates are referred to the ED, to the executive director, who then makes the final choice. So it's collaborative. The LSB has its role. The ED has its role. What this new language proposes to do is to take the power of the LSB completely away, to give it all to the ED, so that one ED centrally located currently in California would be completely making the decisions for all five LSBs, which are all over the country. It takes not only just the power away from the LSB, it takes the power away from, we are the representatives of the community. It's taking the community's voice away. It's de-democratizing the process. So yes, Ron is right. It needs more examination.
Thank you. I believe, who's next here? It's not showing up. I'm sorry. Ambrose.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I do agree with both Vanessa and Ron, but in addition to those things, it relegates the LSB to basically being a body that evaluates the GM and PD and submits the budget. It doesn't give it any other teeth. In addition to that, it opens up the possibility that the Pacifica ED could hire a GM that has no ties to any specific station or the communities that that station serves. The other thing that was important, I thought that was important, is that in the development of the job description, there were things that were inserted in the job description that were very specific to WPFW and this area and this community. And putting that in the hands of the Pacifica ED, who doesn't live here, eliminates that completely. And it makes it really raises the possibility of even a rogue GM coming in from anywhere else in the country that has no ties to the District of Columbia, no ties to WPFW, that could actually ruin the station. And the last thing is with the budget. If the LSB, one of the jobs of the LSB is to submit the budget, what happens when there is a conflict between the budget that the LSB comes up with and the ED, the GM that was hired by the ED? There's no mechanism for conflict resolution. That conflict resolution will end up in the hands of the Pacifica ED. So there are several areas in which this is detrimental, not just for WPFW, but for the other four stations as well.
Thank you. Michelle. Michelle, you're up. Michelle.
Oh, okay. There it is. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kamau. Now, who am I talking to? Is that Dennis still?
It's Dennis, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Dennis. I'm sorry. I don't want to really even take up 90 seconds. I want to agree with the comments that preceded mine. And I also want to say that I think that in this move, Pacifica is exposing itself once again, that it doesn't consider itself a partner, that it considers itself more of an overseer. And I think we have historical experience with that. And that it also doesn't see itself as a benevolent, it doesn't have any benevolent intent toward us. So I think that we ought to recognize it for what it is. And we can talk about that. And we have this discussion next meeting, if that's agreed to. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on.
I definitely agree with Ron, Michelle, Vanessa, but something interesting was said by Member Sanders in her description of the motion was that this person, the general manager, works closely with the executive director. I would argue that the more intimate relationship is with the local station board and its listeners locally. You really can't expect a general manager not tied or tethered to the local area to then come to us and present what's going on locally. We don't have the executive director coming in each month to give us a report on what's happening at the station. That's the purview and the scope of the general manager. And so from my standpoint, not being able to vet and properly vet and most importantly interview a general manager and a program director really causes a problem in the relationship between the two. And we would definitely, the power would be gone, but that actual working in tandem, which is the expectation set forth in the bylaws for us to do with local management, would be lost. So I think this motion is way out of line and potentially violates the bylaws.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to hear from Michael, and then I want to see if anyone wants to propose a course of action for moving forward. Go ahead, Mike.
I agree with most of what everyone has said. No one wants to give up our autonomy, our our power to make decisions for personnel that that affect our local station. I have served on the Mass Committee before, but I think we invited this, and I want us to use this as a precautionary move, because we have been trying to hire a GM over a year. This is a year. A year ago, Jerry made his announcement, and IBM takes 3 months to hire a person with much more importance to their organization. And we have, tarnished to the point where we've allowed the ED and Pacifica to come in and tell us what to do. We caused this, that still doesn't mean that I want to give up power. I certainly agree with Brother Ambrose. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Ron, is this a proposal?
Yes.
Okay.
My motion is that, this motion be tabled until the next meeting.
I mean, tabled by whom? By us?
Tabled by us. That we can have.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry, but I want to be clear. What we've been discussing, a motion is before the PNB. We don't have a vote pending to table. So what is the, that we would table?
The vote,
To vote.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't support or not in support of the proposed, PNB.
No, no, my motion is to allow this board to discuss this in full at the next meeting.
Right.
Take a vote then.
Right. No, I got that. So what I'm saying is that at the next meeting, what you're suggesting is that the LSB should take a vote on whether or not we support this
motion, right? Proposal. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Thank you.
Got it. Okay. Minerva, you started this. Let's hear you go again.
Point of order, Chair.
You went first. Who's got a point of order?
This is Julie. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just would like to see if Ron really means to table the motion, because parliamentarily speaking, I think table means take it off the agenda.
Postpone.
Period. I think postpone is most likely what Ron's interested in doing. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. And before I go to Minerva, let me see if there's, a second to this proposal, Ron's proposal.
Vanessa seconds.
Okay. Minerva, you have the floor.
Okay, excuse me. Dennis?
Yeah.
Okay. My system went out, so I didn't hear anything said. Would you tell me? I thought you called me to speak. And
yeah, your hand is up.
Right. But there was a discussion or something going on before then. Can you tell me what took?
Yeah, several people, expressed a concern about the proposed, PNB motion, mostly on the grounds of, losing, local, power, to the central authority. Some people suggested that this might be in violation of the bylaws. It was suggested that we may have brought this upon ourselves, but that it is still a that it would reduce the authority of the local station board. That's what several people expressed. There is a motion on the floor for us next month to take a vote on whether we support the proposal. of the PNB.
Okay. So, what I'm gathering is there a problem with our LSB putting this in writing so that when we do have the meeting with the PNB, that we can go ahead and share that?
Well, we would, the idea is that we would, what the suggestion is to have, we will have something in writing, and I'll ask Ron to submit something in writing that the LSB would vote on, at our next meeting.
Okay, you're not going to put it in writing before the next meeting, but this is going before.
I mean, we can't vote on it until the next meeting.
No. Okay. But this is going before the PNB, board members on our next meeting, which I think is the 19th. And this is coming from the personnel committee. So
in that case, I would suggest, one of the things that Ron mentioned is that the directors at the PNB should suggest postponing it until the local stations can have input.
And that is what my apologies.
Okay. And excuse me.
Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay. Thank you. And that's why I'm saying it. If this is what the, board is desiring, then, you know, I don't think it's a problem with presenting that to the PNB, and hopefully they get the same from the other stations if that's how they see it. So, you know, if this is what's planned on being done. And I didn't say all of this to, and I think there was a comment made that, I don't remember now what Kamal's comment was, but I think in essence, what they're trying to do is make this more so that we're interacting with the ED as we go through this process, whoever's going to be on that committee. And the other part is to, not look at having the general manager work on it with the ED, because that's what the IGMs are doing now. They work with the ED, and together they come up with different things for the station. So, you know, I don't see it any different than what we're doing now, but it does seem like I find this ED and also the PNB to be open to whatever the LSBs want to share with them. So I'm just going to present that.
Thank you. Is there any objection to Ron's proposal that we take this up at the next meeting? Wayne?
Chair, I just have a clarification question.
Yeah.
And the clarification is that since our meeting is after the PNB meeting, that our delegates do not vote for this proposal before we've talked about it, that we that they don't vote on it, or they vote against it before we've had a discussion. I mean, do I have to make a motion to do that? Or
then the other issue would be, if do you feel do people feel confident in taking a vote to make a position tonight that can be expressed to the PNB next week?
From my PNB directors, I've gotten, and from all the majority of people who've spoken tonight, I've gotten a clear understanding of what the motion that came out of that personnel committee is. And I would definitely vote against that.
Okay. All right. Tell you what, let me hear quickly from Craig and Michelle.
Yeah, my concern is that if we table a motion to decide on an action that may be voted on by the PNB before we even get a chance to have our delayed action, then we've just, you know, wasted our opportunity to speak to the Pacifica board.
Okay, understood. Michelle?
Yes. My concern is, I have two concerns.
Oh, you just went out.
Went on mute, Michelle.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you said you have two concerns, and then you went out.
I have two concerns. One is that if the people who are representing us to the PNB, because I don't know who those are, don't understand what our concerns are, that's a problem, and we need to have a discussion, a further discussion. The second is, if in fact the PMB meets on the 17th, which is a Friday, and I don't know when they meet, and the people on it hopefully have an idea, do they meet every other Friday or every
They meet Friday? On the 19th.
Okay, because our next meeting is on the 15th, is it not?
8th.
It's every third Wednesday, right?
2nd.
January. The next meeting will be in January.
The 8th.
Well, isn't that prior to the PMB? Why is that too late for us to have
it? No. They meet on December 19th. We meet on January 8th.
Then I think that we should do whatever we need to do to get to the other stations too. There should be a unified as much as we can opposition to having that discussion until we have a chance to vote on it. That's not acceptable. I mean, I know other people might have confidence in Pacifica's good intentions, but you know, good intentions pave a road on a road.
Mr.
Chair.
Special session.
Mr. Chair, point of information here.
Yes.
It's important to understand that the meeting for the PNB is scheduled for the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't, you know, I made it clear in this motion to the PNB at the last meeting that until the LSBs, until each LSB has had a chance to review this proposal, that it be postponed.
And what was the state? And what is the state of your of that motion that you made to the PNB?
It was passed.
It was passed.
It was passed by the PNB that
so
it, you know
so,
that they
so
that they would
postpone.
Not vote, that they would not yeah they postponed you know and that until the next meeting or possibly even January, because they have to deal with the seating.
The next meeting doesn't do us any good, because the next meeting is
the next meeting of the PNB, okay? The next meeting of the PNB has already been scheduled.
Right.
What my motion was to the PNB and voted on.
Just went out. Ron, it sounds to me like they approved your motion to wait till their next meeting, but their next meeting is December.
No, if Ron can't be heard, may I speak, please?
Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
Hold on.
The chair of the board, the chair of the PNB, said that vote on this issue could happen as late as January.
Or as early, could it happen as early as December 19th?
They could try it, but
the LSBs have not voted on it. That was Ron's motion. Wait until every LSB has voted,
okay,
and then bring it to the PNB.
Okay. And that was passed.
Yes. Okay. This is Minerva. What was passed was that the, members of the PNB were to take this motion back to their LSBs to make them aware of it. That's what was passed.
That's not the same thing
that's right. Being said by Ron and by Vanessa. That's why I asked you. Excuse me.
Go ahead, Minerva.
That's why I asked the question. What is this LSB wanting to have brought to the PNB regarding what we're talking about here tonight regarding this motion? So that was the question. And I hear the other comments and everything, but what do we take to the PNB? What is the concerns and what do you want them to do in terms of this motion? That's where I am right now.
Okay, I understand. Okay, I'm going to hear from Robert, who hasn't spoken on this, and then I'm going to call for a vote tonight. And if people decide to wait until January, but I think I want at least give us a chance that if people are willing to weigh in tonight. Go ahead, Robert.
Thanks, Dennis. I don't know if this helps us move towards a vote, but it seems to me that there's confusion.
you know, I'm hearing one thing from Minerva and I'm hearing something else from Ron and Vanessa as to what the PMB committed to. I'd like something that's more ironclad that makes it clear that we're going to have the time to consider it. You know, and, I mean, go ahead, Dennis.
I'm just saying it does not sound to me like we're going to, we have an ironclad thing that we can count on tonight.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So can we get that? Is there time to get that? Or if we're not going to get it, do we have to have an emergency meeting to consider this, which would really be a pain in the rear end? But if that's what we had to do, that's what we have to do.
Or we could vote tonight.
Or we could vote tonight.
Mr. Chair.
I'd like to be able to follow Ron's initial suggestion. I think it makes a lot of sense to understand it better, to go over it, to review it, et cetera, and then make a decision. But if we're not going to get that kind of commitment and we don't think we're going to get it, then we're in a tough position.
Then we have to have a special meeting. Okay, Ron.
Mr. Chair, the PMB is already committed to this.
That's not what I heard. There's
that's not, that's not true.
The vice chair has said that's otherwise, true. Ron.
And I think I see Julie's hand up. Yeah, would you mind letting her speak, please?
What is your read, Julie?
I think what the PMB agreed to do, and for those who don't know, I'm the PMB secretary right now. I'm non-voting, but what the PMB agreed to do was to postpone until the LSBs had a chance to take up the motion. And so, you know, my reading of that would be tonight was a chance to take up the motion. And if we kick the can down the road to January, yeah, that gives people more time. But I don't know that that's a guarantee. I mean, with all due respect to Ron's interpretation of what the PMB voted on, I'm not clear you're going to see a path to this not already being decided at December 19th. You know, and the problem is you're not going to have an opportunity to call an emergency meeting if it gets voted on at December 19th, right? Okay. And I feel badly for the folks who, you know, this is like kind of a big deal and it's being sprung on you tonight, your first meeting, but you know, it's kind of what happens in Pacifica. So that's my take.
All right, listen, all right, here's what we're going to do. If you're uncertain, you can abstain, but I think we need to vote, if we're in support of this PMB motion or not. I think we need to vote on that now.
Yes. Agreed.
Is there a second to that position?
I second the position. Right. I mean the motion.
All right. Ellen, can you prepare to call the roll? A yes vote will be in support of the PNB change, proposed change. A no vote will be non-support.
No, wait. Confused now. So was Ron's motion ever seconded?
Yes, it was.
We have to vote on that motion first. Okay. Unless you're tabling it.
Okay.
I believe.
The motion to postpone.
Ron can withdraw it.
He can withdraw it or take.
Yeah, are you willing? You want us to vote on that first run, or you want to withdraw it and go for tonight?
Yeah, I want to vote to postpone.
Okay, the yes vote will be to postpone until January when this may be settled, the no vote will be not to wait. This is not in favor or against the PNB motion. This is whether or not to
postpone.
To postpone that decision. Okay. Ellen, please call the roll.
Irene?
Not here.
Hold on. Verna?
In as much as it seems like postponing is too risky, I'm going to have to say no to postponing.
Okay.
Wayne?
No to postpone.
Michael,
no.
Curtis, Bill Curtis. I'll come back. Violetta.
I abstain.
Vanessa.
Yes to postpone.
Susan? Susan?
It might be too late to ask this question, but can Ron's proposal be conditional on the opportunity for a timely meeting to decide?
No, because there's no way to determine that condition in advance. We won't know until the 19th whether or not they choose to go ahead and vote.
I abstain.
Okay. Robert?
I vote no.
Craig?
I vote no.
Kamau?
No.
Michael?
No.
Julie?
No.
Michael voted twice.
No.
I
Michael Byfield, and then no. It's Michael Hirsch.
I think you're going to have to call our last names.
Yeah, okay. I said Michael
Hirsch. Verna is right.
Okay. Michael Hirsch said no.
I vote no anyway.
Yeah. Arthur Hyland.
No.
David.
No.
Ambrose.
No.
Tony. Tony. I'll come back. Mariah's not here. Ron.
No, also.
You vote no on your motion? Colleagues.
Eric?
Yes. And deference to my colleagues.
What did he say?
In deference to his colleagues, he's voting no against his own motion.
Oh, okay. I heard the no. I didn't hear the other part. Okay,
but he
Eric.
Didn't withdraw the motion. He didn't withdraw it.
Okay. Eric? Eric? Okay, I'll come back. Minerva?
No.
Michelle?
Emphatically no.
Wanda?
No.
Okay, I'll go back to Eric. Is he on? Eric? Does anybody see him? Okey-dokey. Tony? No. Anybody see Tony? Okay, I guess. Are they still on?
I'm on.
Dennis?
Bill.
Curtis. Yeah.
Okay, Bill, what do you say?
I'm voting. Thank you, Ellen. I'm
what?
Voting no.
No. Okay. Okay, I heard you. Thank you. Tony? Was Tony on?
It looks like he's gone, Ellen. If you check the attendance.
You. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't see him on there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Eric Ramey? I don't see him, but I don't know.
Yeah, I believe same thing with him.
I don't see him. So, I don't see him on the list.
Yeah, I think he left about half an hour ago.
Ellen?
Okay. Yes.
I'm changing my vote to no. I was trying to support Ron, but he's voting no against his own motion, so I'm changing my vote to no.
Oh, that's why I guess. Okay. Okey-dokey. I have you down as no.
Can I change my vote as well?
Okay. What's yours?
Thank you.
What is it?
Well,
you abstain. Now what are you?
God. What is your vote, Sue?
She did abstain.
No. It is no.
You abstain. What did she say?
She's changing it from abstain to no.
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay. Well, who has the next motion?
The next motion. Okay. Were we done, Ellen?
Yeah. Everybody had no except for, everybody had no.
Okay.
Except right, for what defeated. Did you say? What do you say, Dennis?
It doesn't matter. I will officially abstain.
Everybody said no. Oh, yeah. Violetta said abstention.
Okay. Well, I'll abstain with Violetta in solidarity.
Okay. So two abstentions and the rest are no.
Okay. So, would someone like to, make a proposal to vote yes or no in support of the PNB motion?
This is Michelle.
Yep.
I move the vote to reject the PNB motion.
Okay.
I second it.
Okay. So the framing is a yes vote is a no vote to the PNB.
Yes.
Everybody got that?
I think that's kind of confusing. Can we just say that no means no to PNB?
No. A yes vote
A
yes vote is a rejection of the PNB motion.
Right.
Everybody got that?
All right. That's okay.
Dennis.
Rejection.
Wait a minute, Robert.
Yeah. For the record, may I suggest that it be amended to reflect that our delegates are going to vote in the manner that the motion decides. Okay.
Yes. Is that accepted? Okay. Julie, did you have your hand up?
I do.
Michelle, do you accept the amendment to your motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
Julie, speak and then we'll vote.
I did just want to say that there's a couple of things that I think people should think about as you vote on this motion. Okay, let me think about this for a second. I think I'm going to vote no on this motion, and here's why. And granted, a little bit of this comes from experience as a PNB director, but most of the lawsuits that Pacifica has faced over time have been associated with, lawsuits brought by former employees, oftentimes GMs. And so that's one of those things about Pacifica that, lawsuits wind up costing us a lot of money so we got to do what we can do to make sure that we keep those kinds of costs down by, using fair and square HR practices, which I think is one of the reasons behind this motion. Another thing, it was portrayed earlier as being a motion from a couple of people, and it came from the PNB personnel committee. So an entire committee of people with each of the stations represented. So that's an important thing. It wasn't just like, some small little group meeting in secret. I will also point out that the current ED picked Miyuki Williams as the interim GM. And so I think that gives you, a flavor of the fact that the current ED, Executive Director Stephanie Williams for Pacifica, does really have the best interest of each of the stations at heart. She recognizes that they're all different, et cetera. And so, I can appreciate a lot of the arguments that people made against the motion, but I think there's a small degree to which people are imagining the worst case scenario as being a super high probability event. And I don't think that's what this motion is about. It's about the fact really that there are five stations. All five stations now have interim GMs, and trying to make sure that we fill those positions permanently in a sensible kind of way. And I don't think, what I'd like to see the LSB do is say, hey, even if you standardize the GM position description so that, it's kind of the same, it says the same things across all the units. That nonetheless, that there is the ability for us to add some text to the job description that makes it, that adds to the standard job description to make it, relevant for the DC market. I really like that idea, and I would favor that. Thanks.
Okay. I'm gonna actually say two quick things, and then we should vote. One is that the a change in process should not depend on a particular person who happens to be holding a position. And the ED, this would survive whoever the current ED is. And then the second thing is that I believe there's a way to ensure proper HR practices in ways that aren't that can be more inclusive, or certainly are less exclusive. Okay, let's vote. A yes is a no to the PNB proposal.
Chair, point of information, please.
Yes.
Chair, I'm sorry, I'm clarifying the motion.
Yes.
That the vote is to direct the directors,
yes,
in terms of, okay, how to vote.
Yes. That we would be supporting whatever position the LSB takes on this, that we are asking our directors, directing our directors to vote to reflect the will of this local station board.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Ellen?
Verna?
Okay, in all due respect, Jules, I don't see shifting the power to the PNB, minimizing our lawsuits. And we had input into the decision to select Miyuki Williams, and I don't think a generalized or homogenized version of this process should be done. So I vote yes to reject the PNB proposal.
Wayne?
Following the word of the chair, and exactly what he said, that this would supersede whether somebody holds that job. The ED now is favorable to PFW, but if she gets fired tomorrow and another ED is installed, we don't know what that means for the stations in the Pacifica network, especially the station I care about, WPFW. So I'm voting against the PNB thing. So that's a yes.
Michael Byfield.
Come back to me later. I need to really think about this after listening.
So you're
Julian.
Passing right now. Okay, Bill?
Abstain.
Violetta. Will she come back?
Yes.
Okay, Violetta?
Said yes.
Violetta, what's your...
She said yes.
Yes or no? Oh, she said yes. I didn't hear. Vanessa?
Yes to reject the PNB motion.
Susan?
I vote yes, and I want to reinforce Ron's statement. There's a better way to reinforce integrity and process to all of this without superseding local authority.
Robert?
I vote yes, and so does Coltrane.
Okay, Craig.
I vote yes.
Kamau.
Yes.
Michael Hirsch.
I vote yes.
Julie.
No.
Arthur?
I'm going to vote no.
David?
Yes to reject.
So no?
Yes. A yes vote.
No, no. I'm voting to reject the PNB, which is a yes.
Okay. Ambrose?
Yes to reject.
Tony Leon, do you see him?
He's gone.
Gone.
Okay. Mariah's not here. Ron?
Yes.
Eric Ramey, has he returned?
No.
No.
Okay. Minerva?
No.
Michelle?
I vote yes to reject, and I have full confidence that the personnel committee of the PNB can figure out a way to maintain integrity without the, without us giving up the democracy that this network is known for.
Thank you. Wanda?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 yeses. And we have 1, 2, 3 noes. And we have a pass. Michael Byfield, have you decided?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. So that's one abstention. Okay. And Dennis,
in my final vote as chair, I will vote yes to reject.
Yes. Okay. So that's 15. Someone said something?
Yeah, Ellen, Bill. I abstain, Bill? So you should have two.
Okay.
And Dennis.
Yeah, I have you abstain. I have you. I count.
Yes.
Okay.
You got Dennis's so, yes vote, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I have 15 yes, 3 no, and 2 abstain. Wait a minute. 1 abstain.
2.
2 abstentions, so, because Michael abstained also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. I knew we could get through that. Okay, now, well, I can do this next thing. I can do in 1 minute. We were supposed to, deal with the question of whether or not we would, continue with a parliamentarian. We're supposed to have a proposal to vote on. We don't have that, so we're going to kick that can down the road. In the meantime, I did send you all a recommendation that if we choose to keep a parliamentarian, we continue with John Tatum. Since then, it's made aware that his fee per meeting, which I thought was $100, is $300, and so I'm withdrawing that recommendation. So that if we do decide to continue with the parliamentarian, I think we will need to continue to research who that might be. Okay, that takes care of the unfinished business. Ellen, you want to announce the results of the election?
Okay. First of all, I emailed all of you the results, so you can go back and look in your emails. And I can tell you that, and this is what you'll see in your emails, that Robert Gordon had 64.7% and Michael Hirsch had 35.3%. Count of first choices, and this is what it says, and you'll see in your email, the winner is Robert Gordon.
Okay, and then just to confirm, then the new chair will be Kamau Harris running unopposed. The new secretary will be the old secretary, not the old secretary, the previous secretary.
Not old.
Ellen Carter, and the treasurer would then be, the new treasurer would be Mariah McLean.
Well, Mariah said that she would have to check with Kamau, and so she hasn't really accepted yet. I think she is going to accept, though, but
tentatively, it will be Mariah McLean.
Okay, thank
Kamau
you.
Kamau has his hand up, Dennis.
Yep, Kamau. Just
speak to it.
No, I was just going to say that Mariah and I spoke, so, but if she hasn't officially accepted, I won't speak to her, you know, for her on that. On that level, but she did inquire about the position and the demand, so she's abreast.
I'd like to, Chair, I would like to know whether we have any more business.
We do, yes, one quick thing, and that's a reminder. January, by statute, we must nominate and elect our four representatives for next year's Pacifica National Board, three listener delegates and one staff delegate. And also a reminder that we need to begin resetting the all of our committees next month. So if you're interested in a particular committee, you can reach out to the secretary or me or Kamau. That includes the program committee, the development committee, the outreach committee, let me see, program finance committee, evaluation, and if we still have a mass committee, and the relocation committee. Yeah, so those are the committees that we will need to restructure. There are limits on both the on the membership for both the relocation and the mass committee. There are numerical limits on those, so we have to decide how to choose those people. Everything else can be by volunteer.
Chair, okay. Point of order, please.
Yep.
Okay, so I know you're going to say point of order is a rule that's being broken. So the rule that's being broken is that it would be wrong not to thank you for serving as chair.
That's a stretch, but thank you.
Masochist that you are. It's like herding cats. But thank you for being willing to do that.
Thank you.
There you go.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Given that there's no further business. Given that there's no further business, I move to adjourn.
Yo. Oh.
You catch on quick.
Oh.
Second motion.
Chair.
Okay. So be it. Thank you all. Thank you all.
Good night.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Congratulations, Kamau and Robert. Congratulations.
To all.
Congratulations to the new officers.
You got it now,
good night. Good night, everyone.
The new board is on the way.
You, good night.
For your service.
Thank you.